welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Good times. 866-901-ADAM is the phone number. We'll continue on with our March Madness. What makes me the maddest? Get it down to the Elite Eight. Also, Eric Idle from Monty Python is going to be on.
I'm jazzed about that one.
I am, too. He's doing Spam-A-Lot, which is a big hit. And I got called to go on to Spam-A-Lot, or at least possibly be a part of it. And that's about as much as I know. I couldn't do it, so maybe he'll have some.
You're the Peter Best
inside
of Spam-A-Lot.
Yes. It's funny. I never hear him called Peter. He always it's called
yeah.
Pete Best.
Pete Best? Nobody calls him Peter?
Yeah, there's certain names.
I'm very formal with people who have ruined their lives unintentionally.
Certain names we always talk about that get more complicated when you tack on the last name.
Like, Peter Townsend. I would never say that.
Yeah, but you know who it is. Nancy, fill in the blank of Sid and Nancy, gets less recognizable when
absolutely.
You say yes. her
Sid
last
Nancy
name.
Sid and Nancy Sid and Nancy. Sid and Nancy Spungen are almost no one. And Nancy Spungen is no one.
And, yeah, Pete Best, I know, is the ex-Beatles drummer, but Peter Best, I'd have to think about for just one second.
Brandy Norwood is another one.
Yes.
I don't know Brandy Norwood.
But you know Brandy.
But you know who Brandy is.
The singer.
That's a whole different game you're playing. Now we're adding a couple of letters.
He's actually closer to the artist known as Peppermint Schnapps. Damn, that'd be a good rap name.
Peppermint Schnapps?
Yeah.
Are they a team or one person? Brandy, like Salt and Pepper?
Brandy and Peppermint Schnapps, you get a contact buzz just watch, just hearing them.
I like that.
Yeah, Peppermint Schnapps, good rap name. Get Brian, make a note. Forget mayonnaise. I'm going with M-A-N, you know. With a Z.
Minty Fresh Wraps.
Peppermint Schnapps. So it sounds like kind of French, but by itself, it's Nas.
Dijonais. All right, well, anyway.
Okay, raped in jail rapper.
Def Rat Guy, by the way, coming in the studio. Yes.
He's excited about March Madness.
Very excited. Speaking of March Madness, Dickie V is going to be on the phone.
Yeah.
Dick Vitale. All right. See, the V part confused you, but the
right.
Vitale part, you know. Where was we?
March we haven't done anything.
Ah, yes. Hello, Teresa Strasser.
Hi, Adam Carolla.
Hello, Danny Bonaducci.
Hello, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Brian Guy.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm stuck with that, right?
The
saying hello to Brian, it's not like a thing I wanted to necessarily. I mean, not no offense.
No, I know. You know what you did? We normally act like he doesn't exist,
right.
Like everyone
right.
in this immediate peer group does.
And I came in new guy, so had to be super, as you say, not hyper aware, hyper vigilant of what was going on around me once I wasn't a guest but actually worked here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was checking everybody's vibe and who does what and who's got the power and who can do what. And so when you said good morning to me and she said good morning to you and she said good morning to me, I said good morning to him.
Big mistake.
And about 3 days later, he goes, hey, by the way, thanks for saying hi to me that morning.
No,
that's it.
Sure.
I'm done. I'm saying hi to that guy. That was the sweetest thing. I wanted to kiss him.
What you
this
did.
Is very interesting.
It is interesting right because it's that sort of thing where there's a stray kitten in your yard and you want to go get a little saucer milk for it and then your wife yells at you or your mom, depending how old you are. No.
Or how lame you are.
Or how lame you are.
Yeah.
Or you yell at your kid, depending on how old they are. Don't do it.
Right.
And they go, but it's a sweet yes, but it will be back every day for this saucer of milk, and I'm sorry. It's like, you know how everyone gets assigned a bum? They're the street bums that wander around, and they want money, and they're standing out front of the Starbucks, and they want to know if you have any spare change and what have you. And then there's your bum. Your bum is the guy who stands on your off-ramp on
right.
your freeway.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't move with you. You know, I had my bum for like 7-8 years when I lived up off of Beechwood Canyon, but then I moved.
I know your bum.
And yeah,
everyone knows that guy.
He's a funny guy.
By the way, have you seen the really handsome bum?
He's the bum.
Is he the handsome bum?
He's the, well, he's fairly easy on the eyes, but he's very tough on the nose. He's very, very
hold on,
difficult
did you
on the nose.
Take good he's care just, of your bum when he was your bum?
No, I didn't. And he was on I think the Gower exit off the Hollywood Freeway.
That's where I live. So
and the thing that's funny is my wife and I went out that direction and got off on Gower to go to a movie theater a few weeks back and were surprised and both announced, "Hey, our bummy's still here." This guy's got staying power, this baby.
Because we're all in bum school today, day off.
I feel like Lynette would want to take care of her bum.
She would. The problem is... You ought to look out for yours once in a while, baby.
How does this hurt me?
I think it was Jack Silver that looked out for yours yesterday a few times.
I've heard stories. The point is...
One time.
One time you did it. 12 times you talked about it. If I get one more friggin' memo about your butt...
We discussed it once. It's 6:04. Let's move on.
Everyone gets assigned their own bum, and there's your bum, and then there's the stray bum. It's like when you're traveling. It's like sex on the road. It really is. It's like going out and having some affair when you're traveling
right.
or some
That's
other
your road
city.
Bum.
You can't have an affair on the road.
You just get laid. Look, if you start up with a chick down the street, there's going to be trouble.
Totally. Right?
She's going to be coming over. You're going to be going over there. I mean, there's going to be trouble. If you're going to do something like that, for Christ's sake, do it with a stripper on the road. And I say the same with the bums, which is if you're going to feed the bum some change, feed the stray bum that's not on your turf,
right.
that's not your bum. Because if you hit your bum, then every day when you come home from work and you stop and you'll inevitably miss the signal on the off ramp where your bum is,
right.
he'll go, hey, there's Bonaducci. Hey, I'm your bum. You gave me money. Yes, you gave me money Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Where's, huh? And then you can't establish eye contact.
Right.
So wait, you know, the thing that's weird about bums is they
almost everything.
Everything.
The fact they sleep in the street.
They force you not to look around when you're in your car, which is
right.
counterintuitive because
right,
when you're
sure.
in your car, your head's supposed
Especially
to be on the swivel.
Hyper-vigilant.
Yeah.
And you'll pull up that one and there'll be that guy. There's the one guy on Highland in front of the big church that always is always there off of Franklin. He'll come running down the road because the cars line up and you'll do that thing where you have to, 10 and 2, baby, straight ahead, like a horse with blinders on. So the lesson is, do not feed your bum change. He will become attached to you.
Right,
which,
then he won't be able to survive in the wild without you.
Yes,
right.
that's
true.
Right.
That's
a good point. But feel free to feed the bums that are out off of your beat.
All right, now I have a couple of small fears here.
Mm.
Yeah.
That my bum is anchor chain at Home Depot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anchor chain at Home Depot?
The guy who gets the anchor chain.
I saw him a little something. And you were going one way and I took you another.
We were, discussing, just to get people caught up, because I'm sure that if
that
I'm confused by
you.
The anchor chain reference. Well, just so people know, I said, I don't like the fact that when I get a massage, I pay some high school dropout $125 for 50 minutes that involves no materials and 8 cents worth of PABA. And then at the end of it, I got to give that high school dropout another $30, right. making it $155. Let the house take care
and by
of
that,
it.
So far, I'm with Corolla.
Right.
We're on the same team so far.
And then I said, when you go to the Home Depot, there's a guy who gets $8 an hour. He's getting up on an A-frame ladder with wheels on it, and he's dragging you down a bunch of anchor chain and cutting it up and putting a label on it, and you don't tip that guy. And
that's where it went bad.
And Danny tossed a crescent wrench in the ace man's verbal spokes when he said, I do. But I said,
I didn't say it like that. I said, well, you said you don't tip that guy, matter-of-factly. Like,
yes.
I guess, and you're the Home Depot expert, not me.
One doesn't tip that guy.
I specifically said when I said, well, as a matter of fact, I would tip that guy. Specifically, it's because you said anchor chain, and I'm a skipper. I'm a licensed skipper. It's the heaviest thing. Yeah.
Wow,
50 tons.
You are full of surprises.
Yeah, he's married himself
tons.
Over 30 times at sea.
Yeah, skipper can't do that. It's a captain that's not good on land.
Oh.
Yeah, that's part of the test. But anyway... Anchor chain's like the most gnarly nightmare to deal with. And if I sent a man up a ladder to get and bring down. So it has nothing to do with Adam's story. I was just throwing in. I didn't think it would matter. Oh, well, I would. And then something else happened. And you said something. And Adam goes, I'm just trying to go down the road here. And you're
trying to make a point.
Like mom and dad were fighting.
Okay, so this is. Except right. dad and dad.
Yeah.
And which one's the dad then?
You're both pretty.
Okay. So I'm nervous about that, but I think. All bums are my bum if I stop where they are and they look at me and ask. They get a dollar.
You'll pay them.
They
right.
give a dollar. Yeah.
Well, that's
you know
fine.
But you know what happened?
Hmm.
A, I used to be a bum, but I never asked for money because people knew who I was. It was too embarrassing. A country song was on my radio for no reason at all. And it was called, it's a couple years old.
A country song?
Yeah.
was on your radio,
yeah, it was my radio
while you're driving.
And if you know the song, you want to call in and remind us what it is, that's fine. But it was, I think it was called She or He or one of the two, Might Be an Angel. And all I really remember is there's a neighbor girl upstairs, and you can hear her getting beat. And the downstairs neighbor says, well, what if she's an angel? I should go do something.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one is there's a bum on the corner asking for a dollar. When you give it to me, he always says, God bless you. And what if he's an angel? So I was in a very, you know, I'm trying to quit drinking. My life is in hell. My wife's leaving me. And I took that quite seriously, that one of these guys that asked me for a dollar is going to be the guy. I'm going to give that guy a dollar, and he's going to go, God bless you, and my life's going to get better.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a really moving
story. I've never had a song, you know, it's not even a good song. It just caught me.
Well,
you know, they might be an angel. Like, you'll never know who that person is. So anybody down on their luck that asks me for a buck, I can't get into my pocket fast enough.
Yes, you reminded me. I know it's 6:10, and not to get too serious, but we've already talked about...
What time do you get
to
this?
I mean, and I remember in Hebrew school, there's a rabbinic story about, you know, why should you give your bum or any bum a dollar because you don't know if he's going to buy, you know, drugs, or you don't know if he's going to buy a drink with it. And, you know, if there's 10 bums, you should give a dollar to each one because one of them might need that dollar.
Uh-huh.
That's the proverb.
So, and then 9-0-D, because I bought some bad smack
and
with the dollar
them,
you gave
basically.
Him.
And you killed them, basically. Yeah. With God's
story
help.
I thought it was.
For me.
When the guy comes over and eats all the guy's stuff and leave, and the guy has to work twice as hard and gets rich.
No, but
that
like
proverb.
That
for me, the biggest problem with the feeding the bums from the vehicle is I'm sitting on my wallet.
Right.
Ah.
And they can't see you open it either, because if you have only 20s, they might not be that much of an angel.
Right.
If they see me on my wallet, I have to give them something. And what if I have only 20s?
Well, my guy wears one of those cash belts. He has one of those change belts like the ice cream man used to wear. He can break a 20.
Break 100.
Yeah, it says right on his sleeve, bum carries less than $20 because he doesn't want to be rolled. Right.
Yeah.
Don't make me throw steel out of my arm again. Look! I'm not clapping.
If bums started breaking 20s, I could deal with it. Because there's that thing where you don't know what's in your wallet.
Right.
And so you go to open it up, and if there's nothing but a 10 or 20 in there, once you've busted the hymen of the wallet,
right.
Something must come out.
Yeah. His life has to get better because your life is great. It's only fair if he saw you do it. If he didn't see you do it. You know, and you saw you only had a 20 and you put it back, which I would probably do. Although I was in a limousine coming over from Hollywood and Highland doing a show, and they sent a limousine, and I don't like limousines. I hate them. I like my car and my motorcycle. If I'm going to be stuck in traffic, let me be stuck in traffic in my cool GTO, you know, or my bike, not your stupid giant car.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in the back of a limousine, and a guy that looked actually okay, like not flipped out bum guy at all, but he looked at me, and I was caught in the red light, he was close to me as you are, and he looked at me and goes, $20. Would change my life.
No, really? Wow.
And I said, really? And he said, yes, $20 would change my life. I dug right in my wallet and got
that's
him
that a good 20. Line.
Because he was just straight about it, man.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he was, well, get me another hit, or we'll get me this, or we'll get me that. It was like the steak he needed for his gold mine that he was sure was there.
Chris Hobo.
Yeah.
He really
nice.
Had it.
Yes.
He had it in spades.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what. We need to take a break, but I would like to keep this bum party train rolling. Here's my two questions. First, I'll make a statement. I will tell you a bum-related story that happened to me on a construction site many, many years ago that I always thought was interesting. It's about the only interesting thing that ever happened to me while I was swinging a hammer. And the other thing is how much, and don't answer, but I'm putting it out to the people, and we'll give our own answers, 866-901-ADAM.
That's 1-866-901-ADAM.
Thank you. What do you tip a bum these days? Because it used to be easy for me. There'd be a change thing, and my card had some quarters in it. You grab a quarter or two, and you hand them that. But I don't feel like that's enough. On the other hand, I'm sitting on my wallet, and I'm not sure if I want to get into the paper money. And then there's this weird thing where it's like, it becomes like a waiter or waitress or something. Like,
coins
if you
rude.
Give her 35 cents, she's going to throw it back at you.
I've been to jail in Mexico for that.
Interesting.
Yes.
I didn't know it wasn't worth any money. I handed him a wad of change. It was worth like a cent. And he threw it in my face and it really hurt. I hit him and they arrested him.
Mexican money has a sting to it.
I hope he wasn't an angel.
That American change just doesn't anymore. Have. Anyway, 866-901-ADAM. Who's your bum? What do you tip him? Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Oak Park, Michigan. A man was rescued after falling asleep inside the compactor of a garbage truck in which he was scavenging for bottles. Definitely not a Jew.
Falling asleep is one of those nice euphemisms. You fall asleep in an airplane seat. You don't fall asleep in a dumpster.
No.
You pass out in a dumpster.
Yeah, I know the difference.
It's right up there. You know, if you've been around people who have done drugs or you've worked with Bonaducci or Dr. Drew, the two spectrums on the drug rainbow,
yes.
You realize little codes like dehydration. And Nicole Richie had to be treated for dehydration. Like 23-year-old chicks that don't play professional sports,
right.
They don't get dehydration. You know, all these guys in these bands who have to cancel concerts because they're dehydrated.
Exhaustion is another one.
Yeah, the guy was 22.
New phenomenon of boy bands, which now seems to be the old phenomenon, it would seem cooler to say, listen, we had to cancel tonight. The guitarist is just on like 12 lewds and can't play.
I know.
Fell asleep.
I still feel like I got my money's worth, especially if he died.
It's rock and roll, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
All right, but we digress. We're talking about bums. I have my bum. You all have your bum. I think you should. I'm not sure my kids are young, but they'll be assigned a bum soon.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I have everyone. They're all my bum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny has,
the world is Danny's bum.
Well, because Danny's been the world's bum.
That's true. And he's been there. So he knows. Like,
I heard a country song.
I dated and heard a country song that spoke to him. I was, I used to date a waitress and we didn't have any money, but she was a waitress and we would always leave huge tips.
Yes.
She would go order takeout food and go pick up the takeout food, not have it delivered, pick it up and give them $10. I'd be like, sweetie, we have no money, and you got in your car and went and picked up the Chinese food. Yeah, give her $10.
The difference is I have money, but I do that. But I do it out of shame. I don't want them to think I'm poor. I have a real issue with that.
Well, I do it if they recognize me. I'll do it if they don't. But here's the thing. So first off, how much should you at all? Are you just enabling them? You know they're drug addicts, or the money's going to go to booze. The story I was going to tell is early in my construction career, I worked on a Pier 1 imports in Santa Monica. I think it was on Wilshire down toward Santa Monica. It's still there. It is a weird thing about working construction your whole life. As you drive through the town, you'll pass all these places that were like marker stones of your life. Yes, I spent 6 months there. I spent a year there. I remember the guys on that job. I remember some of the specifics from it.
I'm a Chinese.
This particular job had two things that stood out. One is a guy showed up at the end of work and he was, I don't know if he was a bum or homeless or whatever it is. He wanted $20. And he said to our foreman, Mike Stramat, the evil Mike Stramat, he said, can I have $20? And Mike was not the world's nicest guy, Vietnam vet, used to yell at everyone who worked for him. And he said, could I have 20? And Mike said, no. The guy begged and whatever. And Mike finally gave the guy 20. And the guy said, I will take your address and I will send you this money back. I need gas money to get home or whatever it is. And Mike said something very interesting to the guy. He said, I'll give you the $20, but if you do not send it back to me, I will never give anyone another penny. I will never trust another person that asked me, and the next person may actually be out of gas, may actually need the money for baby formula, or whatever they say they're doing. I'm going to give you this 20, and I'm going to give you my home address, and if I don't get $20 in the mail sometime in the next 10 to 14 working days, I'll never give anyone any money, and it'll be on you.
I hate to judge in the middle, but this is a great story.
I want to know if he ever got the money.
No, he never got the money.
Oh, my God.
And he took it out on us.
And did he take it out on people that needed the money? He didn't do it? He didn't back down?
Well, thankfully, Mike and I parted ways sometime shortly after that, and I didn't have to see his ass anymore, so I have no idea. But he was a badass. and a scary man, and I'll assume he never did it again. It was probably the best 20 he ever spent because
right. saved him 100.
Saved him, maybe more, right?
Now, you know what's weird with me is because when I make a threat that I mean, I mean it. And sometimes they're a way bigger hassle than they're worth. I would have said, and here's what I expected, I don't care that you don't have an address. If I give you this $20, I will find you, and I will beat you, and you'll be terribly sorry, and I will. I'll find you. And then I'd find him.
It's ironic.
I'd go years if I had to.
It's ironic that you deliver the I'll find you speech most often to a person that's standing less than 3 feet away from you. When you're pointing at someone, you know, I will find you.
Yeah.
All right, Sherlock Holmes, who else are you going to find? The ground you're standing on?
I can't find him today. They haven't done it yet.
I know. I just find it ironic that you do the find thing. It's usually to the person when they're in the room with you.
Okay, how about then good day to you, sir?
Good day.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Good day, sir.
I always like this one. You can run, but you can't hide. I don't like that because I feel like, sure, they can hide. That's
they
where
can
they're
run
from.
And hide.
I'd say you can run and you can hide, but I will find you. In the same way, I don't like that I could buy and sell you.
Of course, I said good day.
I could buy you. It's implied you can sell anything you bought at a certain point, whether it be a car or a home.
You can run. I used to think you could run and hide successfully until that friggin' Dog the Bounty Hunter guy.
Right.
And then he started finding people in foreign countries and stuff with his total mullet.
Yeah, he blends right in.
Yeah.
Into the
Mexican. I've never seen that guy come.
He becomes a Mexican peasant with his 9-foot wrestler mullet.
Look at the white mullet with all the beads in his hair and the armbands. I think he's native.
He's a chameleon.
Joe?
Hey, what's up, Ace?
How say you, my friend?
My policy on bums is, you know, I like sure things. I like to know where it's going. So instead of giving him $2 or $3 or whatever, why don't you, like, pick up an extra hamburger when you're hitting them at McDonald's real quick? And it's funny because all they say is, oh, you know, I'm starving, whatever. You go and you buy the guy, you know, a taco, and he looks at you like you're an idiot. Like, I really meant I wanted money. Why don't you just, you know.
Yeah.
But this time they're honest, and it's like, you get a couple of them, it's like, you know what, I just want to, a tall can. It's
well,
like,
yeah, okay. I mean, you think about this. If you really break it down, what percentage of homeless people who are panhandling are clean and sober?
Almost none.
Very few.
I mean, it's really almost none. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know who becomes homeless, unfortunately? I think schizophrenics and people with severe mental illness that aren't treated.
Yes.
But they're not really quite that homeless, because I asked a guy the other day at Starbucks. He was sitting having a lucid conversation by himself. No one was with him.
Right.
If the Italians had not screwed this up, I would have had the material on time. The Germans always manufacture to the millimeter. They're perfect. It's the Italians that screwed this up.
Mm-hmm.
But he's by himself.
Right.
And I went up to him and I said, dude, I will buy you a cup of coffee. I just want to know something. And he looked at me and I said, do you really see this guy you're talking to?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, of course not. And then went back to screaming at the guy.
Now go back and play the bass.
I want to go to Hawaii.
I just thought it was the neatest thing ever because he was so bright.
Yeah, there is a percentage of people that have legitimate mental disabilities, and then there's a percentage of those people that have mental disabilities and do drugs and drink as well. But the point is if 90%, and I think I'm being conservative with 90%, because if you saw 100 homeless people, I don't think 10 of them would be clean and sober. I think it'd be 2.5 or 3 of them.
Yeah.
But the point is, so there is a very good chance, a great chance, that anyone you hand a nickel or a dollar to is going to use that money for a substance, which is part of the reason they're there in the first place. And that's what makes it so difficult.
It's complicated. By the way, the term bum, is that still okay to use?
No.
Yes.
I like hobo myself.
They're bums. What do I care what they think? Get a job. Here's a dollar because you might be an angel and I'll go, stop being crazy and get a job. I did it.
Line 5.
By the way, the priest at rehab, we called him the drunk monk because he was in sobriety. and he said, never give food to a real drunk. You're just going to make him sick. Just give him some booze. Give him a dollar for some booze. Let him have a drink. That's what the priest said.
I don't know what name this is. Spange?
Here we go.
Hi, Spange.
Hi.
What's happening, Spange?
Hey, how are we doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm a recovering bum, so I got a lot of insight on the whole spare change, homeless, alcoholism, you name it. I'm now a construction manager.
The opposite of you.
Huh, all right.
I walked around and made something of it.
All right, give that 20 back to Mike. He's still looking for you. So, give us some insights.
Okay, well, the inner workings are you can use that money for all different types of things, and there's all different types of ways and angles to get the money. Some of them work for it, like the scrubby window washer guys.
Right.
You know, when I lived up in Seattle doing it, which was the place to be a spare changer in the back in the day, we had a nice 5-bedroom house that we lived in.
Mm-hmm.
You and other
moms? Amenities and everything. Yeah, no, I mean, that was paid for by, you know, charity organizations and stuff, but we still went out for our beer money and our, you know, our paraphernalia money, and we still went out and spare change.
How much money? Nice, how much could you panhandle in a day?
You know, it depends. You know, you don't want to be in a crowded area where there's a lot of other spare changers, so you kind of got to pick a sweet spot. If you can get a good sweet spot back in the day, you know, being a young kid, that plays into it. You know, $50-$60 a day.
But with the same money I was bringing home working for Mike at the Pier 1, I mean, literally, I was making $7 an hour. And taxes were being taken out, so you do
That's the math.
I'm walking away with $45-$50 at the end of the day, same as you for hanging out in front of the Starbucks.
But the pride of a hard day's work, as opposed to, I imagine, Spange, that maybe sometimes it was very embarrassing.
Well, not only very embarrassing, you know, when you end up back in your hometown and you've gotten a lot of trouble and you're down to your last nothing and you got a spare change at the local grocery store where everybody knows you. You know, there is a very sad negative side to this whole thing, and that's part of why I'm not a hobo anymore.
Well, and what was your rap? Did you have a story?
Oh, yeah. Penny, nickel, dollar, dime. You know, we take Panamax, American Express, and Visa. Can you spare, you know, whatever
you
can
find? Good. When the guy's got a little bit of a rap, or once in a while the guy will have a sign that says, won't work for money, needs booze, and you go, you know what, at least you're up front about it. And some guy will give him $5.
The first 100 times.
I wonder, now
they're Carlos Mencia.
Who was more generous, men or women, Spange?
You know, I found that it really didn't matter. Women tend to stay away.
Yeah,
in general, there's a little bit of a fear factor there when you've got some hoodlum, young, homeless hoodlum kids that could potentially rob you, you know. Maybe their intention is something else.
I wonder, too, if you saw a guy and the guy was with a woman, if the guy would be more likely to reach into his wallet just so he didn't, you know.
That didn't look cheap.
Right.
That's an interesting thing. Once in Denver, Colorado, a couple took me and my group in, and they took us into a restaurant, pub, bar thing, and you know, the couple, it must have been some kind of religious gathering or something, but they fed us a full meal, whatever we wanted, paid the bar tab plus a tip and left.
Bar tab.
Wow.
All right, Spange. Well, I'm glad to see you. You know, you've put down the can and picked up the hammer.
You know it.
I like that, bro. What kind of construction are you doing?
I'm an electrician.
Good times, buddy. All right. Yeah. Success story.
It's inspiring.
I don't know if it's inspiring.
Spange. Quit drinking.
Noah, do you
have a bum named Noah? That's just not right.
Noah, do you have a bum? I don't think there is.
That just is not.
There's
life.
No bum named Adam, Noah, or Seth.
Yeah, or Ham.
Ira.
Noah.
Yes, sir.
You have something you do with bums?
Yes. You know, I'm not up with the dishonest bums. You know, I got 5 kids at home, disabled vet, all that bull crap. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one in particular that I used to see quite often, and I would give this guy money every single time I saw him because he held a sign that said, I won't lie, I just want a beer.
Right. And, now, see, Bonaducci says that's old and trite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, the guy on my corner at Los Feliz at Griffith Park going up the 5 North, that's his sign every day, why lie, I want a beer. I still give him his dollar because he might be the angel.
Right.
But I'm over the joke.
Do you give him a lecture on how that's hacky?
I've actually given lectures to bums that I've given a dollar to with my child in the car, even without my child in the car, that their signs are dirty. They say something mean or cruel or something like that, and I've yelled at them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, though. Whenever I see a veteran, even if he's not, if he has the fatigues on, he's going to get a few bucks from me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't resist the disabled veteran.
Yeah, but on the reverse side of that, the guy with the political or filthy. Have you seen the guy at Venice Beach with the filthy poems about gross of all stuff? I saw that
the
guy.
The man from Nantucket?
No, disemboweled and stuff.
Oh,
just
really?
Horrifying and sex with dead things.
No.
And I was with my kid at the beach, and he was away from his poetry, which is his stand. He has a right. But he had moved from that area to a store.
Uh-huh.
And I made him take his shirt off. Because he was standing next to my kid with all that language on his shirt.
I just came up with an idea, which is whose bum could make the most money.
Ah.
Which is, I get a bum, T, you get a bum, D, you get a bum.
They compete.
You get to, you got $20 to dress the bum.
Right.
And you have an hour to give the guy a rap or make the guy a sign.
Should I bedazzle him?
I'm giving mine a
kitten. I'd bedazzle the sign, but I'd stay away from the articles of clothing with the bedazzler. Then you get to decide what corner he stands on, and we see whose bum, because that's really what it is.
Can I borrow one of your infants for my bum?
Yeah, yeah. You want to use the kid?
Yeah.
No, see, if she uses the kid, then she has to go.
Prop bum's cop out.
No, that's fair. I think
Karen bum.
No, dog. I think dog is good. Child is good, but that means you have to go now. You have to be responsible for your prop.
Well, the deal is when it comes to this, it's like, look, if you're high and you have a GED and you're standing there with a load of crap in your pants and a misspelled sign that's on a Budweiser, you know, 12-pack carton that's been repurposed as a sign, you're just not going to make the kind of money that we could make. Like, I feel like if we are smart enough so that, if, and it's a psychological game.
Yeah.
Because every car that passes, well, if one out of every 20 cars gives you a dollar versus one out of every 10 cars giving you $5, you do the math, it adds up pretty quickly. Yeah. You're essentially a storefront and you're trying to get people to stop and come in and sample your stuff and buy something. We're smart. We could probably work with somebody, work out a rap, work out an angle, and up their bum intake a hundredfold. I mean, this guy who was formerly, or at least 100% more, the guy who was formerly making $35-40 a day shaking the can, we could probably get that guy to 100, 150.
If we wrote some material for him.
Right. If you said, look, we're going down to the Army surplus store and we're going to get you a jacket so people believe you're a Marine. Then we'll put a little talcum powder around your temples because you don't look like you went to Vietnam. You're 31 years old.
Plus, if you're a real bum, I'll carve you up a little bit. You wouldn't mind a couple actual scars to get that money.
Bonaducci. The surgeon, as he's known in the homeless world,
put a couple of
things on you. Yeah, and it's like, maybe the guy's wearing a watch. Take that off. That looks like it's worth $50.
I don't like when they have nicer shoes than me.
Right.
The sneakers are coming on. The Nikes are off.
Work them up a little.
Get happening in Prada world.
Work an angle, maybe an Iraqi vet. Maybe if I got young. Again, figure out the guy's age or the girl's age. Put a little story together. Let's not wear, let's, whatever it is. I don't give too much.
I got a little something I think you might like. Because Heather Mills is on Dancing with the Stars.
So let's go
break the leg off a mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
Then bend the leg of a guy back into his wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Dress the leg up so everybody can see. Not only did he lose his leg, but he got to keep it.
Shades of Eddie Murphy in Trading Spaces.
Exactly. And he loves it. And he pets his crazy leg. I lost my leg, but I keep it with me.
I don't want to scare people away. That last bum made a good point. They can't be too freaky because people won't want to get near them.
It is true. If you think you're going to get some Hep C or the guy's going to shoot a snot rocket on you and then you're going to have to go on a triple cocktail, that's not a good bum.
I taught my daughter how to do a handoff of a dollar at 25 miles an hour.
Oh, right.
Just reach out the window with the dollar, just barely between these two fingers like this, fold it up, and the guy can see it coming a mile away, and the window's out, and he just tags it and didn't even touch it.
Yeah.
They're like the brass ring at the pony ride, those guys.
Mm.
Except they didn't really get the brass ring, which is sad.
Yeah, I'm really thinking about this.
I think this is a fun game.
It's like The Apprentice.
Whose bum is better? Yes, then they enter the bumagon, and they fight it out. Brad? What do you have to say about the bum factor?
That we're geniuses. Oh, sorry.
You guys are geniuses. Hey, I know a couple people down there in Las Vegas that are cocktail waitress and a bartender, and every weekend they go out and dressed up in a bum suit, and they get pretty good substantial money there.
Well, that's the thing. Vegas seems like a pretty good town because if you hit a guy, first off, people are very superstitious. Danny's worried about who his angel may be.
Yeah.
Who's your muse? Who's your lucky muse going to be? You don't give $5 to that bum. Maybe you go on a cold streak when you get to the roulette table.
Yeah.
Plus, you're throwing money around. You see, that's...
Because they change it from money to chips.
Yeah,
I would never tip a free drink, $5. Yeah. Right. It's a little round red disc.
It doesn't go, honey.
It doesn't mean anything.
It's true. Some guy gave me a $100 chip because I threw, I don't know the gambling terms, but I rolled the dice for him in craps because I'd never played before, and I guess virgins are good luck. Mm-hmm. And he won, so he just threw me a $100 chip.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what really happened.
Virgin, he must not have heard the show on Tuesday. Brent?
You had a bum rap.
Thank you.
Talk about bums.
Yeah.
What's happening, Brent?
Not much. How are you?
Good. I'm just thinking about recruiting my bum now.
Right, yeah, central casting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wait. Here, let's set some rules. I happen to think this is brilliant, and I love this. Real bums?
No.
No, we cast our bums.
No, I feed the homeless on Sundays at, I won't say where, but at a church right at Gower. You know the church. You see it every time you get off at Gower. It's that big brick building.
Yeah.
I feed the homeless, and some of them are pretty normal and would love this gig.
Yeah, that's where my bum is.
Why not use real bums? They dig it. We're not exploiting them.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We will. Here's why I don't want to use a real bum. And again, we're sorting this out on the air.
Which I like. I know we get memos and some people don't, but they're wrong.
Which is fine. I think it's almost a pure experiment if we use college students.
Yes.
If we go down to the USC drama department and we grab three college students. Because the bum and the bums, oftentimes, and I've done things over the years involving entertainment and bums, they don't always call you back because they don't always have a phone.
Right.
I mean, they're a little bit,
okay.
They're homeless people. They're a little bit hard to wrangle sometimes. So I would say now we'll take the money that we raise and we'll drop 10% of it off at Danny's. No, we'll take the money that our three bums raise and we'll drop the money off
at
the church or the shelter, the food bank or whatever it is. But in order to keep this experiment untainted, I think we should grab this group from the same pool.
I didn't think it could get more interesting than real bums that I happen to know and are okay and capable, but they're bums and that's their choice.
Plus, they have a rap. Real bums have a rap.
Right, but still, no. The college students
will feed them a rap.
It's now a laboratory, and this is what we're doing. I mean, even when I said we're not exploiting them, there wasn't 100% sincerity behind that part. You know, this makes it a lab, and I think that's cool, but now we're also judging whose bum is better, but whose bum's a better actor at being a bum, because they're not bums.
Well, and we'll have to coach them. That's where the coaching and the casting comes in.
I love this game. I am in.
Brent?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You were gonna say you saw a good sign on a bum?
I did see a good sign. It was, I bet you can't hit me with a quarter.
Yeah.
Great sign. Good sign.
Good, I may use that one. All right, Brent.
I really can't
hit me with a 50. I'm thinking big, buddy. All right, Brent. Good times.
Take it easy.
I mean, the squeegee thing is a pretty good rap because you think, well, they're trying to work for their money. Maybe they don't have a resume or an address or a suit, but it appears as though they're trying to work.
Trying
it's a good
to
hustle.
Get you to say, don't touch my car.
It's a good hustle, though.
It's a fine hustle, but they're not trying to work.
I bet you the squeegee guys make more than just tin can guys.
I will bet you they get their foot run over more often than tin can guys.
Yeah, it's one of these things where they will, some of them
people
just want you to give them a few bucks to get away. Other guys will dive right on your car with the stupid newspaper.
How about you, Corolla, in one of your favorite cars?
I haven't happened in a while.
Just make it up like it happened this morning. What would you have done?
I wouldn't have stopped the guy.
You don't let him do it?
If the guy dove. Well, they start before you can stop them sometimes. And the thing that's always most disappointing about this is somehow the sports section of the USA Today works better to clean my windshield than any rag, any bounty, any paper towel, anything that exists in my home. I've never had a cleaner windshield than when the guy hits it with the USA Today.
Newspaper is, in fact, the best. Absolutely.
I know. It really is weird. The guy fires a snot rocket on the windshield, and then he wipes it off with the financial section of the USA Today, and it's cleaner than it'll ever be from any car wash in the best part of town.
A quick little change reel, just an Adam-in-my-head moment. We did a game. My wife and I did a newlywed game type show on my old talk show just as a bit with the other contestants, the other hosts. Mm-hmm. And they said, what's his worst habit? And she said, he blows his nose, meaning a snot rocket. He puts his thumb over one, blows the other one.
Yeah.
And they said, ew. And then she said, indoors. Which so embarrassed me. I was completely humiliated. So I said, in the sink. And then I run the water and there's no dishes. I mean, I flipped out. But for those, I just wanted to make that completely clear what a snot rocket is for those of you who don't know. It's when you close one up and you just go, and they go some distance.
Indoor snot rocket is
a hardwood floors.
Against the Geneva Convention of snot rockets.
Hardwood floors too is bad.
Brad, last one. What do you got for us?
Well, I got a horrible story, actually.
Bitchin'.
My wife and I went out to a party, and it was actually a wine tasting party. We've been known to drink a little bit, both of us. But my wife gets a little upset with me and takes her wedding ring off and tells me, you know, go to hell, whatever. Well, we gather ourselves up, get in the car to go home. I pull over to the AMPM to get myself a tall can. I go in. There's a bum behind me. Hey, man, you got any change? No, I give him the whole spiel. No, I don't carry any change. Sorry, I don't carry any change. I get my beer, get out in the car, you know, I start feeling kind of bad. The guy's outside, it's cold. Pull over to him, here, man, empty my pocket, wedding ring and all.
And walked away and never got it back.
Actually, I have never got it back. I went back to the guy at the same place. I've talked to the guy probably 25 times since then. Hey, man, you ever seen my ring? No, man, I told you, I promise, I'm honest. I'm an honest bum, dude. I'm honest, I'd give you the ring.
And according to tradition, you must then wed this young bum.
And you're responsible for his life.
Right.
Did you tell your wife what happened to her ring?
Oh, she knows. It, unfortunately, it's something we've both had to deal with every day, but, you know,
You mean this ungrateful bitch is still your wife?
Yeah, I know. It's horrible, isn't it?
Wow. You guys sound like a class act, too. You guys do too much boozing at a party, get into a blowout. She throws a ring at you. On the way home, you stop for a tall boy and give a hobo her ring.
Hey, that's a good
time. Have a definitely not a Jew candidate.
There's a famous bridge where women would go throw their rings off into this lake. It was like a famous place. There were movies about it and everything. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon, the government went, why is our lake boiling? Because there were so many divers.
Going down to get famous
after the movie to go there and throw away your wedding ring. And so they said no diving in this water. And then the government itself put up a net and would pull it up at the end of like every 3 weeks.
Smart. Where was it?
I forget, it was in a movie. And then after the movie, I kept reading about it in the newspaper.
Yeah, like famous movie where you would go to officially end your relationship.
The sun is coming up or going down and you heave the ring. First air bubbles from divers, then the city actually takes your wedding.
I just go to Sam's Bagels.
We will take ourselves a break.
What are we doing next, girl?
We're doing a little something called March Madness. Smoke them if you got them, Bonaducci.
All right.
The topics for the next bracket is Don Henley's Dirty Laundry versus recycling, the hypocrisy of this government in recycling. I'll tee off on both those topics on March Madness next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's March Madness on the Adam Carolla Show. In first round action, the chick from the head-on commercials.
There's a fat chick with crazed eyes and crazy hair, and she says how annoying the head-on commercial is when, ironically, she's twice as fat and twice as annoying.
Got hung out to dry after going up against Dirty Laundry by Don Henley.
Oh. Kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down, kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down. Look, when you've repeated the same crappy refrain 128 times, perhaps it's time to put down the booger sugar and pick up a goddamn guitar and write a decent song.
Leasing cars to family.
My mom and my dad's lease is coming up in the next week, and I have to lease them cars because why? Well, they'd be riding donkeys because they're Corollas otherwise.
Was tossed in the trash by recycling commercials.
We don't have any recycling for the one place we need it, which is apartments, because there's 160 people living on top of each other and all the trash that goes along with that. So they're hypocrites. They want you to recycle, but they don't want to recycle.
Now the Sweet 16 continues with Dirty Laundry versus recycling commercials.
What's going to make me mad in March? Do a little March Madness with the Ace Man.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, man, even I'm intrigued.
I know.
Which is going to win? We'll put it to the people. You go to AdamCarolla.com. You vote. We're getting down to our Elite Eight.
Yeah, you want to know?
Final Four.
Two advanced yesterday. A lot of people voted online on AdamCarolla.com. Mm-hmm. And just so you know who's advanced into the Elite Eight, safety warning stickers beat out school buses without seatbelts. Mm-hmm. And National Pride beat out airline DJs.
Okay.
And on a related topic, Carolla's not an angry guy. For a guy that's not angry by nature like me or my dad, when you get going, you're surprisingly spooky.
Yeah. I become possessed. Danny saw me do my angry dance.
I did. And it was like somebody else burst into flames. To see Corolla just all of a sudden go. You just don't expect it.
I do my angry dance. I'm not sure where it comes from. I don't look at myself as pent up. And I don't look at myself as angry. On the other hand, I'm really perplexed. Like, yeah. I really do have these thoughts where I'm like, I can't believe what I'm hearing or I'm seeing, or I can't believe I'm the one who's come up with this, or I can't believe people are going for these lies, and it takes hold of my body.
Right, but something where you would say, you know, and it vexes me. I am perplexed. That's what I would expect. But when you get vexed and perplexed, all of a sudden you're doing the Adam Carolla angry dance that just totally doesn't suit you, and you're very good at it.
Well, when
I just go, I'm getting away from the spooky dancing guy.
Yeah. That's what his wife says when Survivor comes on. He does a Survivor dance.
Oh, that's a happy dance of joy. And ever since I started incorporating my kids as tools as part of my Survivor dance, it's become that much more funny.
Can you hold them both at the same time and do the dance?
Yeah. Well, the son's what you call heavy set.
He's only 9 months.
Yeah, he's a few pounds away from fat. He should enter that realm shortly. But the thing about the Survivor dance that I do, and most all the dances I do with the kids these days, and I do a fair amount of dances involving the kids. Again, using them as a tool, as a prop, much like Tahitian would use a flaming baton or sword dance or something like that. The problem is there are two props that are involved with these dances, I've realized. One is my child, and the next is my scrotum. Because I don't do these dances with the kids when I'm wearing my street clothes. After I get out of the shower, after I've skipped my rope into my bathrobe, that's when the real dance begins. And the whirling and the spinning and the holding the kid over the head, eventually the sash comes loose on the rope. And either I have to grab part of the rope and part of the sash and part of the robe to keep it closed and in jeopardize dropping the kid who's over my head. Or it's balls to the wind,
baby.
Wait
a second. This is like Sophie's Choice, your sack or your child.
Yes.
What's going to get loose.
Is this bad? One of my daughter's friends slept over last night. And she said, Mr. Bonducci, can I tell you something? Mm. And I said, sure. It was like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. They should have been in bed. She goes, do you know that every time I come over here, you're never wearing a shirt? And now she's from a 10-year-old. Do I get to worry now? Like what she tells parents? Mr. Bonducci never wears a shirt when I'm there?
Well,
that kind of freaked me out.
The parents would be alarmed if you weren't shirtless at the PTA meeting. The fact that you're wearing Chemin de Furs and cowboy boots, and that's all at the PTA meeting.
I drew the line when he showed up at Tot Shabbat with no shirt. That was just rude.
By the way, I am a member of the PTA, but I did it during Breaking Bonaducci because people were giving me the stink eye.
Right.
So I thought I'd join and just show up and stare at folks.
All right, let's get started. Now, again, we're going down to the Elite Eight.
Yep.
We have a couple more of these to do for our own March Madness. Topics today, what the hell are they? Yes, dirty laundry and recycling. Yes, well, first let's start with dirty laundry. I have heard this song more than I've heard the sound of my own thoughts. Forget about the sound of my own voice. Oh, this one, you all know it well. Kick them when they're up, kick them when they're down. This is the best part of the song, by the way. This part that only sucks 1,000 times. We haven't gotten to the million times suck it to. Yeah, come on down. The song that won't end. First off, I would like to put a steel-shanked boot on and kick Don Henley in said scrotum for writing this song. And next time some guy comes in hopped up on coke and wants you to participate in the world's worst experiment in a studio, please, session musicians, throw your guitar down and walk away. The guy who was playing the drums should have taken that drumstick, dipped it in a little Tabasco, and put it right up Don Henley's tukai the second he decided to play this dirt. But I don't blame him as much as I blame the corrupt program directors who must have had a dump truck of cocaine backed up to their office and physically had to use a goddamn snow shovel and a retarded neighbor kid to dig themselves out of the cocaine blizzard that they were in. You guys don't think there was payola in the 80s? Of course there was payola in the 80s. The world's worst song. songs made it to number one. And then the only thing worse than Don Henley, the only thing worse than the program directors are the lemmings that hear this horrible dirge that never ends. It gets stuck in their puny craw and they spit it back at you because they memorize it. Oh, I like that song. No, you don't like that song. You remember that song. I don't like the Holocaust. I'm aware of the Holocaust. This is worse than the Holocaust for non-Jews and people who enjoy good music. Yes, I've said it. That's my feeling on Dirty Laundry. Well, and now,
for a minute there.
Now, worse than the Holocaust. Yes, sonically worse than the Holocaust. Where's my buzzer, Brian?
How would you like a guy that thinks that's worse than the Holocaust to be mad at you? I'm telling you, he's spooky.
Now, moving on to recycling. I don't mind recycling. I love the concept of recycling. I just don't like the hypocrisy involved with recycling. 13 years ago, I lived in a crappy apartment building in Studio City, and I called them and I said, "Where's the recycle?" Thank you. There it is. I said to them, "Well, we have another bracket." I said, "Where's the recycling thing?" And they said, "You can pack it up in a hefty bag and you can truck it out to Sun Valley and drop it off at the recycling thing." And I said, "Well, I'll do that. I'm a white guy who's interested in the earth, but how the hell are you going to get everyone else to do this? You must put recycling buckets up in apartments where 500 people live on top of each other in a footprint where a single family dwelling used to be." And they said, "We're working on a project, sir." And I said, "Fine. Godspeed to you and don't spare the horses." And then 13 years later, Mike Lynch came in and said, "Guess who moved into a crappy apartment in Studio City? And guess who doesn't have recycling? And guess who called the city about what they were going to do about it? And guess what they said? We're working on a pro." You're working on what? And the reason you're not working on it is because there's no money in it for you. Again, you can tell the difference between the things people want to do and the things people want you to think they want you to do. The city is very interested in collecting money for parking. They're very interested in collecting revenue in taxes and everything else. How do you know? Drop your car off in a red zone and then count in Mississippi's. Let's see if you get to 30 before some puss comes along and slaps a $50 fine on your car. But when it comes to recycling, nothing in it for you. On the other hand, they want you to think there's something in it for you, so they do commercials. Recycle. Please recycle. Perhaps you sons of tards should take some of the money that you're putting toward the billboard campaign, toward the radio and television campaign, begging all of us to recycle, and put some goddamn recycling dumpsters in the apartment. Perhaps you should do something that would work versus trying to brainwash the masses because you don't care. Thus, you are hypocrites, and I say good day.
Wow.
Thank you.
I don't want to influence any voting here, but you know what I really like?
What?
That I know that a house that used to have a family of four in it has the same footprint as an apartment building with 175 people. I never heard a footprint before for a building.
Right.
I know that now.
Think about the garbage generated by the 175 versus four.
Yes, but think about Dirty Laundry. Is it just a harmless little ditty, or is it a Holocaust for your ears?
I got a Holocaust for your ears.
Schindler's Lobe. I must, first off, there's got to be somebody. Now, Henley's probably sleeping right now, but there's probably somebody that was in the session for Dirty Lines driving around going, "There's a guy who's going berserk on a 22-year-old song."
Well, by the way, the last lyric of that song, "We all know that crap is king."
Well, there you go. Kick them when you're up. Well, kick them when you're down.
Wasn't he right?
Speaking of crap, T's got the news coming up. But again, you go to AdamCarolla.com and you vote. Is it Dirty Laundry? Is it the recycling campaign? Again, you're not voting against recycling. Everyone's for that.
Right.
It's the city and its hypocrisy.
Yes.
T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Last night on American Idol.
After 30 million votes.
Someone was voted off, and I'm going to tell you who. Also, remember the crazy astronaut lady?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's been hired. And we'll all be paying her salary with our taxes.
No.
Also, Howie Mandel filled in for Regis, and he went off the rails completely.
Oh, really?
Yes. I'll play that for you.
Ooh. Mandel snaps next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? We're going to continue with our March Madness tournament, so get your brackets ready. Good name for TSV, the bracket. 64 go in, one survives. Then they cut down the net and everyone takes a piece home. The Death Frat guy is here. We'll do Mr. Brightside and from Monty Python's Flying Circus, comedy legend Eric Idle. It's only a flesh wound. Hey, flesh wound, that's another good name for TSV. Hey.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed, indeed. T.
Yes.
What's in the news?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Yesterday, John Edwards disclosed that his wife, Elizabeth, who had breast cancer back in 2004, just after he lost the vice presidency, he announced yesterday that there's going to be a news conference today in North Carolina having to do with his wife's recovery from breast cancer and her health. And there's some speculation that perhaps he's going to announce that she's had another occurrence of breast cancer. She wrote a book about it called Saving Graces. She underwent surgery. She had radiation and chemotherapy, and she's been healthy since 2004. Hope she still is. This news conference is scheduled for 9 o'clock Pacific time. So
She's the Mencia of diseases. She just stole Schimmel's whole act.
She stole Robert Schimmel's act. I would say that she, in fact, has 6 months to live, and her last wish is that I go to the White House as a grieving widower. That's going to get you some votes, okay.
Wow. Is that good?
By the way, if you're over 60 and you break your hip, you have 5 months to live. It's the law.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to know that.
Now, how old is she's not she's, over 60,
no,
is she?
No, she's 57. She's 57. She's beautiful. I saw her on Oprah talking about her book. And, you know, the Edwardses have had a very rough time. Their oldest child, Wade, died in a car accident in 96. They've been married 30 years.
So 11 years ago. So he must have been in his 20s then, right?
He was young. I think he was maybe in high school or 19. He was
a great big fat person.
Mrs. Edwards, that's nice. Today she's probably going to announce about her breast cancer.
I was just about to say something like heartfelt, like some things just aren't funny, so I'll be
quiet. Don't worry, Brian. The chemo thin around.
What happened to your hair?
Yeah.
Was that chemo or just
I'm going to be bald like you.
Genetics.
Male pattern baldness. Male pattern meanness. Well, we wish her well, and I'll bring you more on that story as it unfolds, which it most certainly will. I hope for the best.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds as though he's going to... And, you know, John Edwards is a front runner for the Democrats, you know, along with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know if anyone does, but I'm guessing Hillary on top, Barack second, Edwards third.
According
is that how it would be now?
Polls, that's about right, yeah.
Those would be my money bets.
And Hillary on top by surprisingly large margin.
Yeah.
I thought that 3/4 of the country hated her, by the way. And I assume that 3/4 of the country loved Barack. And I was surprised that she had twice as many points as far as the early polls go as Barack.
Yeah, I was as well. Well, it's very early on, so we'll see how that shakes out. Meanwhile, the psychotic astronaut lady, 43-year-old Lisa Nowak, has a new job. NASA fired her. But less than a month later, she has another job. Now, if you're sitting home and you don't have a job, this woman was able to get a job, even though she is going to be going to court for attempted kidnapping, battery, and burglary with assault in July. She has been hired by the armed forces. She's been assigned to the Naval Air Training Command in Corpus Christi, where she'll work on developing curriculum and training programs for Navy pilots.
Here's what I don't understand about the law. You know, we do this thing where the person doesn't pose a threat to flee.
Right.
Right.
So we let them out. But last time we saw them, they had some duct tape and some zip ties and a diaper, and they're trying to abduct somebody. Isn't that enough just to keep you in? I mean, you were doing it. I mean, it's one thing if there's some sort of white collar something where they say you owe the company or the shareholders millions of dollars, and they figure out, well, no risk of fleeing. We'll let you stay in your mansion until we have a court date. But if I just come up and stab somebody, don't I just go to prison?
No.
I know. It seems like I should.
The same thing that you rail against, if we weren't spending $2 billion a day in Iraq, we still wouldn't get the pothole in front of your house fixed.
Right.
Okay, what they do is they size up this person's house.
Pothole, by the way, Dawson's nickname in high school.
Your house, your ties to the community, your kids being in local schools, they tie that all into the severity of what your possible punishment could be and equal it out. And if you have more ties to the community than you do a chance of running, they'll get your bail.
All right. I just, like I said, when they don't know whether you did something or not, it seems like they should let you out. When they catch you in the act of doing it, and I don't mind that she's out. Don't get me wrong. She's a chick and she's college educated and she's nuts. But it's just when they catch you doing it, I thought they kept you in. But anyway, she's working for the government.
You make a good point because she clearly has some anger management issues.
Yes.
And it's unclear whether or not she could snap. But for the record, she did file a not guilty plea. So maybe she's got a really good explanation.
But
for
they
the whole thing.
Physically caught. Didn't they physically catch her doing it?
They caught her and confiscated all what was it, the mallet and the diaper and whatnot.
The garbage bags, right. The knives.
And again,
those Goodfellas, man.
Again, here's the country we're all living in. If they stop you and you have the mallet, the duct tape, and the diaper and the zip ties, you're going to use to bind or bound your victim, or they pull you over and they see the AK-37s with the modified banana clips that are on them. There's not much we can do because you are on the way to rob the bank. You are on the way abduct and torture.
Right.
On the other hand, if they come into your house and they find a shoebox full of weed, that's attempt to distribute.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though you're sitting in your bedroom. I don't know if I like that part of the law.
No, there are all sorts of parts of the law that make very little sense.
I want the guy who has the AK-47, the police scanner, and the ski mask in the back of his trunk. I want us to assume that he was on his way to do what he was going to do, which is rob a bank, takeover style. And the guy who's got the weed in the shoebox in his bedroom, I didn't see him sell it to anybody, and I don't see any receipts.
You know, I see a guy with a banana clip, I think bank robber. I see a guy with a whole shoebox full of pot, I think Dawson getting through Tuesday.
That's right.
Well, some people feel the results of American Idol are criminal.
Pothole. I don't even know that any of this is true. I just want to join the Dawson Club.
Well, I've been asked never to mention it.
There's not enough asphalt in the contiguous United States to fill that pothole.
No comment. Some people feel that the results from American Idol last
Dawson
night.
Quit smoking. Smoking, so he's up
grumpy.
Everyone's butt around Arizona and everybody. Yeah. But, it, you know, the thing is when you quit smoking, it's the same as that time of the month for the ladies, which is Dawson's on edge because he gave up smoking and he's up. He's giving everyone the stink eye and he's pissing everyone off. But he gave up smoking. Now, you can't bring that up. If you go, look, you're just on edge because you did it.
Same thing. Yep.
You'll get more angry. And if you say to a woman, sweetie, I know what you're saying. What is it? It's the 27th, isn't it?
How dare you?
Later on, when they're in the middle of the month, they'll apologize.
Right.
And 2 weeks from now, when the nicotine is passed out of Dawson's body, he'll apologize.
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll see.
But I'll never apologize for the pothole.
And I'm never apologizing for my period. It's my period and I'm pissed about it.
Well, I got an email that said, Adam Carolla can call me a stoner, but you can't.
No.
I wish I was kidding.
I wish you were
but
kidding.
But I took Adam's advice and he's told me, you know what? Do nothing.
Mm.
So I deleted the email and I moved on. Now, speaking of moving on.
Are you kidding me?
Such a big person, Teresa.
Yeah. Well, listen. What was I going to do? It was odd.
Oh, please.
American Idol last night.
Yes.
Are you?
No, what I'm...
What's Teresa, your point?
You know what? I'll tell you what the point is. You've put together a nice run here. You've put together a good 7.5 weeks of not firing off snarky emails.
I've sent one email compared to the 30 I've received.
I am a lonely soul.
You're on a nice roll here, baby. I want to see you get that cake at the end of the year.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So let's keep that going.
Okay. American Idol last night came down to Stephanie Edwards and Chris Richardson in the bottom two. Surprisingly, Sanjaya was not in there. Some people think that vote for the worst website was involved.
I am bumped by the fact that Stephanie Edwards is the name of the world's whitest human being. She's the redheaded woman in her 60s that hosts the Rose Parade every year. If anyone wants to Google Stephanie Edwards, I don't know if she was a local newscaster. I don't know where she got started, but she is the whitest human being on the planet, and this one is amongst the darkest. And it's, again, back to our same name game, but it just, I always think of the redheaded Stephanie Edwards when this chick is belting out a hymn.
Well, let's take a listen to what happened when it came down to Stephanie Edwards and Chris Richardson.
After 30 million votes, Chris, you are staying. Stephanie Edwards heads home tonight on
Ice. It's a bit. She had more talent than half the people that were there. Would you say? I mean, she had better pipes than five or six of the people that are still left.
She had a couple of bad weeks. Diana Ross week, she chose this disco song, but she sort of left out the hook of the song. And then this past week, she was a little lackluster, so I wasn't too surprised that she was out.
Right.
But it is sad because she is one of the stronger singers, and Sanjaya remains to sing another day.
Well, if you're voting for something, I mean, if it's a competition where you vote for people and the name is all over the news and never stops getting brought up, I don't think it's enough to win the competition, but it'll buy you a few weeks.
Absolutely.
Hey, you're funny. Can I ask you a question about being funny?
Hmm.
I was on Joe Scarborough last night.
Yeah.
And he said something in there making fun. He gets funny at this. It's called Holly Weird, this segment that he likes me to do.
Uh-huh.
And so he's making fun of people. And I said, you know, if I was half the man that Ryan Seacrest is, I'd be Sanjaya.
Yes.
I thought that was funny. Do you think that's funny?
Yeah, it is funny.
Nothing.
It took me a second.
Like I shot his sister.
It took me a second.
Is now, Scarborough is the guy whose eyes look like a prepubescent vagina. Is that his eyes? Yes, he's sort of.
He thinks I'm falling for this. He's going to say, yeah, I look exactly like a prepubescent vagina.
I know it sounds sad, but when you see his eyes,
he looks like a newborn owl.
He has labias, not lids. That guy?
Yeah.
I turn off the monitor so I can't see him because it throws me.
We got to put that on. And please take a look at the real Stephanie Edwards in the picture that Brian has brought up. It's Bonaducci's mom. It's basically what she looks like.
Is she drunk?
You just got to see a picture. You just got to see it. All right. Sorry,
Keith. Yeah, no problem. So Howie Mandel was filling in for Regis Philbin yesterday. And they were talking about that childhood game, Would You Rather? Now, mind you.
Now, how does that game go?
I'll let Howie Mandel illustrate. It makes sense when he's doing it. Now, mind you, this Regis and Kelly is obviously on in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family show.
Mm-hmm.
Moms, stay-at-home moms with their kids, just tuning in to see their beloved Kelly Ripa and Howie Mandel.
Would you rather make out with someone in the dark, okay, only to find out when the lights go up that their mouth is covered with open, pus-filled cold sores?
There are places.
Or it's your father-in-law.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that a fun game?
That.
So that'll be a fun game for the whole family. That's coming out.
I was checking out Mandel with his thumb ring the other day, and I thought, well, this is a fairly ridiculous look for a 47-year-old guy, but considering what the prior... Any thumb... No thumb ring. No thumb ring.
No,
I checked before I said that. Thumb ring is a weird bump on a guy, but the thumb ring and the soul patch and the pirate earrings...
Nope, none of that for me.
Coming from the guy with the Jufro and the giant handbag...
Yeah.
And the rainbow.
And blowing up
a condom on his head when the rainbow parachute pants. It's a weird transition, and I'm not sure if I'm right with it
yet. By the way, he was doing a thing at Universal Studios Tour when I was there for Jay Leno, and he was dressed in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a wig on and everything, and he was going to come up and ask me questions like he wasn't Howie Mandel.
Ah.
But he wouldn't shake my hand, so I immediately knew. I started to look at him and knew I gave him away.
Yes, that's Mandel is a germaphobe, and he'll give you the fist bump, but he won't give you the hand grab.
That's right. Now, and in closing, a brief note, a sad note, Larry Bud Melman, Letterman's sidekick, has died. He was 85 years old. His real name, Calvert DeForest. You know him from his many Letterman appearances from 1982 to 2002.
Wow, didn't know. The 2002 feels like he came on after a long absence or something. Didn't
feel
like
that
a
may
continuous
be right. Yes, that may be right. But he has passed away. And a programming note, if you have a child between 8 and 13 who can sing, act, or dance, you can be on Danny Bonaducci's next show. It's called The Next Child Star. And Danny, you're looking for also parents who are charismatic and interesting.
Well, what I'm going to do, first thing I want to do is thank Jack Silver for letting me mention this. This is part of, like, you know, he could have just said no, you're not allowed to talk about it. So thank you guys, and thank you for doing it.
Sure.
What we're doing is we're looking for not just, because we really want to launch a star. We don't want to make fun of people and do nothing.
Right.
We want to sign a Shirley Temple.
Right.
But it would be cool if your mom was into it and your dad wasn't, or you were both super into it, or by what, the whole family is going to be very heavily involved in this show. We need hundreds of families to show up for the audition, which is where?
Sunday, March 25th. That's this Sunday from 11 to 4 p.m. at Raleigh Studios in Manhattan Beach, 1600 Rosecrans Avenue. I'm sure there's more information about it online, but the show is The Next Child Star. I'm Teresa Strasser. I've put together 7.5 weeks of not offending anyone, and that's the news.
That's Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
I know you're offended by me saying you haven't offended anybody.
I was for about 4 seconds.
You're on a roll, baby. That's all I'm saying. Keep it going.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
You're offending anyone. I can see you scaring her.
There was an old guard, and there's one vestige of it left who doesn't care for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Pothole.
People,
not everyone's going to love me.
People, their attitude from Teresa has gone up quite a bit. I mean, she was a pariah. And, you know, now she's gone.
It's a great day.
Now she's worked her way up to sort of indifference. But the point is she is on the climb. She was a stock. You would bet on her. And I'm just saying, I don't want to see any dips in the Dow.
See, I bet after you did, though. See, her stock.
It already went up a lot.
No, it's gone down a little from when I bought in.
Oh. Really? It's gone down?
Yeah.
All right, this is going to get uncomfortable. And the
just a little.
The problem is the great Eric Idle, who doesn't care about our personal problems, is going to be on the phone in 5.5 minutes, and we need to speak to the lad. So Monty Python's legendary Eric Idle next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show with Teresa Strasser and Danny Bonaducci.
Bring out your dead husband.
I'm not dead.
Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulation.
I feel fine.
Well, do us a favor. Oh, thanks very much.
Oh, it's all.
Who's that then? I don't know. Must be a king. Why? He hasn't got shit all over him.
From Monty Python's Flying Circus and the hit musical Spamalot, Eric Idle on the Adam Carolla Show.
I'll tell you my history while we're waiting for Eric Idle to get on the phone with Monty Python. When Monty Python first came out, I was young, and there were a lot of guys that were into it, but I thought it was sort of nerd humor. I always sort of put it in there with Star Trek and stuff, which is, so a lot of people are into this. I don't know why. I ain't one of them. And they would go around doing the spam song and stuff like that. And I was like, nerding. And I saw Life of Brian and I thought, wow, this is actually pretty funny stuff. But I didn't want to like it because I decided that I wasn't going to be one of those people that was into it. Much like it is when there's, like I said, like Star Trek or anything else, although that really was a piece of crap. And then, you know, I went back and looked at the Holy Grail.
I loved the Holy Grail, and I didn't want to.
Yeah, and then the history of the world and all that stuff, and I just thought, wow, this is actually really smart, really funny stuff. And it's simultaneously smart, it's cerebral humor and super crazy slapstick, wig and heels on humor.
The BBC is rather strict, and they can only do so much. When they make their movies, they got to be more themselves and more cerebral. And that's when you have to go, hey, these guys might be geniuses.
Well, here's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not this one, though. He's not that bright.
Eric's
not that clever.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Eric Idle. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks.
It's an honor to speak with you.
Hi.
We're all a huge fan. So Spamalot, which was on Broadway, is coming to Las Vegas, yes?
Yes, sir.
And it's weird, but it seems over the last few years with the producers and many of these other shows that have been coming to Broadway, there's much more room for comedy and much more room for stuff that was formerly on something else coming to the stage now. People are accepting it. It seems like a good time for that.
Well, I think the thing about Vegas is it has to reinvent itself every 5 or 10 years because, you know, there was the time of the entertainers like Sammy Davis and, you know, the individual stars were there, and that was a big, huge thing to do. Then came the shows, you know, spectacular shows with girls and spangles and all the French kind of shows. Mm-hmm. Then came the sort of circus shows that have been the last 10 years, you know, lots of acrobats and French people disjointing their muscles and singing in French.
Right. Don't forget those the stupid-ass 5 years they tried to make it a family theme park.
Well, that was they soon learned that.
That was a bad call.
It's about putting buckets down in the desert for people to come and empty their change into.
Yeah, or sacks for dollars,
They're always looking for new ways to sort of put on, you know, entertain people, and they're trying sort of, now they've gone to try and do something kind of witty and sort of humorous. So that's a good sign, I think.
Well, how did the original, going back to, I'm guessing, the, I don't know, let's see, was the movie released in the early 70s, mid-70s? 75.
Yeah.
When was the concept for the Holy Grail? Who had the idea? Where were you?
This guy named Christ. Yeah. Did some of it, and then set it down.
When did you get the phone call? Like, how did this work?
Well, you know, we'd made a sort of sketch movie called And Now for Something Completely Different.
Right.
And quite inexpensively, and so we thought, well, it's our chance to take and make a movie for ourselves that we write specially for the screen, you know, and it sort of evolved over a two-year writing process that we had a lot of sketches, but it focused down largely on King Arthur and his failure to get a horse. He had these terrible coconuts instead of a horse. And we thought this is quite funny to make it all about the search for the Holy Grail. I mean, because we all sort of know that legend for some bizarre reason.
And it got more popular again recently. It did it again. It made a comeback.
Well, the Grail stuff is always it's a subject completely open to bollocks from writers. You know, they can make up what they want.
Do you have, first off, I heard that George Harrison helped finance the movie. Is that true?
Well, actually, the Holy Grail was financed by Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Genesis, Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Nice.
All putting up £20,000 each. It only cost £200,000. It was $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
George
did that movie, Time Bandits? Or?
George paid for the life of Brian.
Smart.
George was great.
£4 million, mortgaged his home because he wanted to see the movie.
And did these guys all make, I mean, do you know how much the Holy Grail has made over the last 32 years?
Made for the investors, it's made over 1,000%.
Not bad.
So it is gross.
The Microsoft stock of comedy.
Millions. And I'm guessing Life of Brian did all right as well.
Life of Brian, I don't know what the return on that investment is, but, you know, the nice thing was that we got to make our films without any studio interference or executive people telling us what to do.
We never
made it.
You can tell when you watch them because these are incredibly absurd ideas.
You just don't crucify some guy named Brian in the Holy Land and get away with it with a studio head.
And what do you have, Eric Idle we're speaking to, by the way, do you have a personal favorite? Do you have one you would sit down and watch if you could just choose? Yeah.
Well, obviously, I like Holy Grail because I wouldn't have spent 4 years trying to turn it into a stage musical if I hadn't really liked the material.
Right.
It always makes me laugh. I mean, it's not in my writing. It's Michael Palin's and John Cleese's and all that as well. You know, it's sort of absurd and it's really kind of sweet.
Yeah.
And it's a bit. I always think of it in the same terms as Hard Day's Night, which are young men who don't quite know what they're doing.
Right.
There's a sweetness and of young people.
My favorite gag of that movie, and I don't mean to insult you by giving it that label, but is the minstrel that starts doing these sort of verbally degrading songs.
Yeah,
and the guy asks him to please stop at a certain point. Yes. I don't know why that cracks me up so, but that's one of my favorite.
It's a very sweet little song about losing all his limbs and being hacked and mangled and his ears cut off and his eyebrows removed, nostrils raked and his bottom unplugged and his penis split. But it's very jolly.
It's very jolly.
Off to war. Hooray, hooray.
There's the cowardice part, too, where he turns and runs, and that gets woven into the song.
And bravely he ran away. But what it is, in fact, it faces you right there with the realities of the dilemma of war. It seems to be very jolly. You'll get dressed up in wonderful costumes, and then you come back hacked and mangled.
Right.
But it's doing it in a very jolly way, so it's subverting the message, which is in the minstrel form.
Yeah, it's funny. There's all the pomp and circumstance and all the beautiful outfits and the fun toys, but ultimately you get a limb blown off or worse. Now, let me ask you this, Eric Idle. I got a call from my agent. It must have been about a year and a half ago.
That's the last time my agent called.
And he said, the folks over, he said, have you heard of Spam-A-Lot? I said, yeah, I guess I had heard something about it. I don't think it started yet on Broadway. Maybe it was. When did it launch on Broadway?
It celebrated 2 years on Broadway.
2 years. So I must have got this call 2 years ago. And he said, the guys from Spam-A-Lot called and they wanted to know if you're available. And I said, available for what? I don't sing. I'm not a trained, stage actor or Broadway performer. And they said, they just want to know your availability if you're going to be in New York for a few weeks. And I said, well, I don't think I can do that because I'm not going to be in New York. And then it went away. And I still to this day have no idea what it was or if you know anything about it.
Well, I don't, but I'll make it my business to find out.
Please, for God's sakes. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question. I've seen your travel show, although the name escapes me at the moment.
Wait. That's Michael Palin.
My sincerest apologies.
He's the other one. That's my other name.
No, that's just because he does this. He references being crucified right over there 20 years ago.
Yes, that's right. He did. He showed where we were at, where we filmed it.
Right.
In 19, whatever it was.
Pardon my mistake, but when he referenced and I was crucified right over there, I immediately thought of you.
Thank you. Well,
no problem.
Yes.
I have a question about your show opening in Vegas. It's going to be at the Wynn Hotel and Casino, yes?
Yes.
And are any of the cast members from the Broadway version going to be in Vegas?
No, we have a whole new cast. We have John O'Hurley playing.
From Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's rather a wonderful Arthur, and he's sort of sweet and attractive, and he dances very nicely, he keeps telling us.
And so, Eric, this must be a nice, not only satisfying for your psyche, but your wallet must feel pretty full, too.
It's very nice because, unlike the film business, you actually get to feel some of the money coming your way.
Right.
But it's more than that. It's really very satisfying to be able to do something that works on Broadway, gets the Tony of the Year for Best Musical. Mm-hmm. Then we get to open a touring company, which is this week in Philadelphia. Then we get to open it in London. So it's a huge hit in London. Mm. Now we open it in Vegas.
Yeah, it becomes like a Starbucks. You can franchise these things,
Yes. No, but I mean, people want to see it everywhere. But so you have to put on new companies and take it to them.
Right.
Yeah, you know who invented that was? Dick Clark invented that with Dawn before it was Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
He had like 100 singers on that record and then split them up into threes and had Dawn playing all around the country singing Knock 3 Times on the Ceiling.
Excellent.
Hit them everywhere. He invented that.
Well, there is that sort of stage. There's a couple of stages of show business. There's that stage where you get paid a ton to go out and perform, which is great. But then there's the even better stage where you get paid to walk out to your mailbox to get paid. And that's the stage that Eric Idle is in now.
Yep.
God bless you.
I have toured America twice, so I thought this is a way if I can write something and put other people on stage.
Yeah, now your wallet's on tour.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just send your wallet on a tour of America.
You guys discovered Sarah Ramirez, who we know as Callie from Grey's Anatomy.
You did. She's fantastic. I mean, I've never seen a talent like her. She's not only got this operatic voice, and she can sing like any other kind of singer in the world, but she's also extremely funny and then a great actress. Wow. And we're actually writing an album for her at the moment.
And are there any folks, because there are a lot of people that have made it pretty well in Hollywood, done features and television, who want to get back to the stage.
Uh-huh.
Is there any celebrities or any people coming up or anyone we should know about that have contacted you or that have made inquiries to get back on the stage and get into something like this?
Well, John O'Hurley did ask. He said he earmarked as one of the two parts he'd like to play on Broadway. So we immediately said yes and shoved him into the desert.
Yeah, there's a fake Broadway. It runs under a miniature-sized Statue of Liberty.
He's very happy. He plays golf, and he's a lovely life out there. So
yeah, you used to go to Vegas to die. It was the end of your career. Not now.
Right. Or be killed.
That's Broadway now.
Well, Vegas has always had possibilities for performers to revive and reinvent themselves. I'm sure you'll see Michael Jackson reinvent himself there very shortly.
Eric, from your mouth to God's ears.
I believe that to be true.
Eric, do you live in England full-time, or do you live
out? I live in Los Angeles full-time.
Ah, well,
can we come over?
What's that?
Can we come over?
Sure, you can come over. I'm just getting my kid off to school.
How old are your kids?
My daughter's 16.
I got a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old, and Adam has twin, what are they, 9 months?
Yeah, but the trophy wife math may work out quite nicely with Eric Idle's daughter.
Really? I've been with my trophy wife for 30 years, so I need a new trophy.
Yeah, I've been with my trophy wife
for 17. I didn't
think
I could love him more, but now I do.
He's got a little tarnish on the trophy wife. You need a new one, yes. Your daughter's 16. I should be getting a divorce in 5 to 8 years. That'll be perfect.
Right. Would you like Adam Carolla as your son-in-law, Eric?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Actually, to be honest with you, you would.
Yes.
He's smart. He's handy. He can build a house from the ground up. He's the kind of guy you want. Now, if you actually asked, do you want Danny Bonaducci as a son-in-law, you might want to scream no and go running from the room.
No!
Eric, if you get me as a son-in-law, you're going to have to get a food taster as well.
Why?
Because I'm going to need,
rich enough.
I'm gonna need that mountain of money. All right, Eric, please come in. The Holy Grail for us would be if Eric Idle came into studio.
Yeah.
Sometime soon. He lives in L.A. You'd come in, right, Eric?
I'd come in, yes.
And even though I shouldn't point it out once more, I really do appreciate that you're not taking offense to the Michael Palin reference.
I'm used to it. Don't worry.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
That felt bad.
And by the way, I love you on House.
Eric Idle, everyone, and, of course, Spamalot.
Yay.
New musical. Lovingly ripped off from the Monty Python Holy Grail movie. That's a good point. March 31st at the Wynn Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. We'll take a break. When we come back, in the news, Vivica A. Fox, not our news, but the news, Vivica A. Fox, who I always thought was aptly named Fox.
Yeah.
That is one piece of hot cocoa I'd like to take a swig off of. It's a hot, hot woman of color there,
yes.
Vivica A. Fox. Yeah. Anyway, she got popped for DUI.
Refrain from using ethnic slurs.
Yes.
And guess what? She was in Van Nuys at the time, your hometown.
Scenic, majestic Van Nuys.
Do you know how many times I've been chained up in that? Because I grew up in the Valley, and I didn't have a driver's license until I was 30. So every time you got pulled over, you got arrested. You didn't just get a ticket. You had to go to jail. I've been in that jail in lockdown 17 times.
Yeah, and if you got pulled over and most anywhere in the Valley, you ended up in Van Nuys.
Yeah, exactly.
She stayed at the Bonaducci wing. We'll take a break, and here's the question for you at 866-901-ADAM. I want to hear your DUI stories. Now, it sounds simple, but I know guys that have gotten arrested for DUI when they thought they were too drunk, so they pulled over and slept in their car and got pulled out of their car and got a DUI. I know a guy who got a DUI in his own driveway, meaning, oh, good news, we don't have to tow your car. It's already in your driveway, but you'll have to climb into the back of our car and be driven away. I want to hear your DUI stories. I have my own, a close call. I'll share that with you. 866-901-ADAM next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. We want to hear your DUI stories. When you were pulled over for drunken driving, what happened? Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, drunk driving is one of these topics we're talking about it based on. Well, what's the Vivica A. Fox story, T? What happened with her?
She was pulled over Tuesday night in the San Fernando Valley. They pulled over her 2007 Escalade. She blew through a speed trap going about 80.
Hold on. Black chick driving an Escalade.
I know. That part.
What is going on in this world?
Dude, when I tell a story about going out for the first time after breaking Bonaducci because I was so ashamed, an Escalade came to a screeching stop and opened its door, and I went, oh, this guy's going to shoot me over this?
Mm-hmm.
And all I did was say, hey, great show, man. I told him the Escalade comes screeching stop, door flies open, guns are going to be fired. I don't know what makes you think that.
Yeah, Escalade. So she blows through a red.
And they gave her two breathalyzers, and according to the police, she was definitely over the .08 legal limit.
Do you know what she was?
They haven't released what she was, but she was cited for DUI, released on her own recognizance, and she'll have to appear at a later date. By the way, Vivica, who you love, is 42. She looks very good.
Foxy.
Yeah, she does.
Black don't crack, sister.
That's right.
I was thinking about two things. One is, you know, Mel Gibson's getting pulled up. It seems like a lot of celebrity DUIs in the last year or so. Wasn't there a time, and maybe it was that time when people smoked on talk shows, where you got pulled over and they said, oh, hey, it's Johnny Carson. You know what, Mr. Carson? I think you've had one too many tonight. Were you down at the Colonies? I'll just escort you down PCH. Go ahead and just follow me. I'll make sure you get home safe.
Yeah. No, there was that time. There was that time.
Now, as I was thinking
about this,
yeah, I thought, you know, I'm trying to get into the minds of cops because, yes, there was this day where if you were a celebrity and you got pulled over, you got escorted home or you got almost nothing. Now, it always, you know, look, you could be pulled over by some guy who didn't have a TV set and wasn't a fan of yours. Now, what is going on now? Is there too many celebrities and we can't keep track of them anymore? I mean, it's our job to keep track of them. But these cops, they're not watching 5,000 channels when they get home. Maybe they don't know what's going on this cable network or that cable network. Or, as Bonaducci says, is it a trophy now?
It's worth money now, though.
Do you want to be the guy who busts Mel Gibson or Vivica A. Fox? Or here's a third one, and you have to ask yourself anytime you say, well, is this going on more or does it just seem like it? A, it's all over the news, so it seems like it. I mean, the Mel Gibson thing, we hear about it 10 ways to Sunday for the next 10 months.
So is the question of celebrities drinking more?
There's a lot of celebrities. Are they getting let go and we're just not hearing about it and we're hearing about the ones that are? I mean, was Paris Hilton pulled over five times and the guy who's 23 years old and has the hots for her says, listen, sweetie, go on, get your cute blonde ass out of here. And then she got pulled over by Bull Dyke 3 weeks later and we heard about it in the news. You know what I mean? Is it actually more? I just feel like being a celebrity doesn't have the same cachet that it did a few years back.
It does not. It does not.
Were you drinking when you were pulled over?
No. No.
Speeding?
Yes. Driving erratically and speeding, been pulled over many times.
Cops just say, I love the man show, but goodbye, Adam.
That is correct. In most cases, yes. Wow. I've been let go the last maybe eight times I've been pulled over.
Wow.
Although got the chicken ass no front license plate the last two times I got pulled over. As a matter of fact, I didn't get pulled over the last time I got pulled over for speeding, and then the guy wrote me a ticket for no front license plate. I got pulled over for having no front license plate, had no idea why I was being pulled over because I was in traffic. And then as the car zoomed by me and as we clogged up traffic on Franklin because I was getting another chicken ass ticket during rush hour, I thought, this is a fantastic society we're living in. But the phone lines are crammed and I'll tell you this. I had a buddy who's not a drinker, who is an attorney, who ironically got a DUI in his driveway, and he was marginally over the limit. And he was a guy who did less drinking than any guy I knew, although I hung around with world-class drinkers. He was at the bottom of our boozing pyramid. He had one beer too many watching a ball game, came home, got stopped in his own driveway, and had to go to rehab for it. And that's the whole, this is the part in the problem I have. I'm against drunk driving too, but you got to decide, does the guy really need to go to rehab? This guy got his license taken away, had to ride his bike to work for a year, and he had to pay for and attend these drug aversion classes.
That's an odd, because somebody didn't like him. The way that works is you get busted, you immediately make bail, you check into rehab. Your lawyer appears on your behalf and says, my client has realized that he has a terrible problem, Your Honor, but he is in a 30-day confined program right now. Judges, knowing nothing about alcoholism except they hear the word disease, think, well, 30 days with a doctor, you're going to be cured, and they let you go.
Mm-hmm.
This guy somebody hated.
Mm. Well, maybe God did.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was Jewish.
That'll happen.
Interesting. I'll have to work this out off the air.
I'd suggest it.
By the way, I said he was an attorney. Did I need to say he was a Jewish?
Yeah, but
Chris, thank
maybe
you.
That's why they hate him. That's maybe what the judge said. I'm throwing the book at, you know, their representatives.
Oh, when he
court.
Said the book, he meant the Bible.
Yeah. Old Testament.
Chris?
Yes.
You had something happen in your driveway as well?
Yes. Yeah, talk about chicken S arrest. I made it home with a chick that night. We're both lit. I'm thinking, got it home free. Mm-hmm. She decides at 3 a.m. she wants a ride back to her house. So, you know, like a drunk gentleman, I take her back. Driving home, flying home, I pull into the driveway, see the lights behind me, and think, oh, God, what just happened? Sure enough, gives me the field sobriety test. I'm looking at my front door, and he puts the bracelets on and says, you know, you're not sleeping in your bed tonight.
I would have been hanging on to my mailbox yelling, Ollie, Ollie, oxen free. And I would have been the only guy who would have shared a cell with his mailbox and a post filled with dirt on it. We had to arrest him and the mailbox. He wouldn't let go of the mailbox. Yes, when you cross that thin imaginary line that separates your house from the world, you've made it, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, I used to do a thing that I think I mentioned. I would sit in the back seat of my car with the keys in the glove compartment, so I couldn't possibly drive. Mm-hmm. And I would drink in my back seat because that's where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I've still been hassled. I never was ticketed, but I was still hassled for drunk driving because I was drinking in a car.
Did you explain I was in my rumpus room?
As a matter of fact, I explained I was in my living room. As a matter of fact, I did.
But Bonaducci had someone, though, answer the door on his car. Hello?
Oh, my butler still
Mr.
lives
Mr. Bonaducci home? I believe he's here.
Let me pull that.
Who can I tell him is calling? The fuzz?
Johnny Law.
He may be in the tub that's in the trunk. Glove box, good name for TV. Kyle? How say you?
How say me?
Yes.
Interesting story. We have a little bridge in Folsom, California, two-lane bridge going one way on it. Carload of what I like to call a little platinum fun drove by. Mm-hmm. So I decided to do a three-point turn on the bridge, turned around to follow them, got pulled over, got the SSTs. They made me do the ABCs and everything else. It got let off. About two blocks down the road, another cop pulls me over. Gives me a DUI, takes me to jail.
Wow, so you passed the first field sobriety?
Got through the first guy.
And did you bring that up? I imagine you did.
I pleaded. Not only did I bring it up, but I started name dropping.
Whose name did you drop? Other cops?
Yeah, the cop that let me go.
One of the few people that can still make me beg. I'll beg the cops. Because they'll ruin my... Even if I can ruin anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? If I was going 85 into 50, it would ruin my career at this point. Danny Bonaducci arrested again. That's all it would say. No one would ever trust me again.
I would say there needs to be a rubber match. You beat the field sobriety test the first time. Now you lost. Now this is winner take all. We have a third cop who pulls you over. You get to try it again. Because to me, you did. You know, there needs to be a rubber match in that. God damn, does that suck, though. There could be no worst moment, and Danny, you've been through it a few times. I got arrested once on my motorcycle when I had some warrants, and, well, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I had warrants out for my arrest, motor vehicle-related stuff, but the moral of the story is if I got pulled over and they ran my plate or my license, I was going to be arrested.
Adam Carolla arrested. They wouldn't print what it was to the bottom thing, if ever.
I knew I was going to be arrested. I was young. I was 19 or 20 at the time.
So it didn't have the ramifications it would have now. Jack would have to take it to New York and go, what do we do?
Right. But worse, it would have been $595 that I owed the court, which I absolutely did not have. And I was just a poor kid riding around North Hollywood on a motorcycle. And I will not exaggerate one Smurf's ass hair on this story. I was eating dinner with my mom on a Sunday night about 8 o'clock in the evening. And I said, Mom, I got warrants. And I was probably hoping she would say, son, why don't you borrow $500 and see if we can put this behind us?
How would I know that?
But being a Corolla, she didn't reach for her wallet, but she did reach for a sagely piece of advice. She said, how do you go to work? I said, I go to where I take Ventura Boulevard all the way down work. She said, you know, Valley Spring Lane runs right along Ventura Boulevard, and, you know, there'll be no cops on Valley Spring Lane. That's a small street, Ventura Boulevard, Cop
so
Central.
So she gave you the best directions to get around the cops.
Essentially like Ma Kettle.
I am digging your mom.
Ma Barker. I wanted I wanted some money. She gave me some advice on how to elude the fuzz. So she said, take Valley Spring Lane. Valley Spring Lane runs all the way same down Ventura Boulevard and you know whatever. So
go Wells.
Take Wells. Take Wells of Valley Spring and turn up on Fulton there, your home. So I said, all right. So the next morning I got up, I got onto my motorcycle, and I started heading down, you know, Laurel Canyon. And I said, oh, wait a minute. Mama said, turn on Valley Spring instead of Ventura. So I hoofed the left on Valley Spring, and I was happily motoring down Valley Spring when a cop pulled me over. It was a full 11 and a half hours after she gave me the route to take. I was pulled over, the bike was parked, the bike was towed, and the ace man was arrested and taken to the North Hollywood Pokey where all my buddies had to bail me out, and I got S-canned from my job.
Did you get S-canned, really?
Oh, yes, I did.
God, when I was in radio and I started to get arrested a couple of times, I'd get raises. I got once bailed out by the competition. Because I was so making so much press, and it was Danny Wildboy in Philadelphia. The competition, they fired me, the competition bailed me out and hired me at a raise.
Wow. Well, it was not that. I was working at Hoffman Travel at the time. I had some crappy job licking envelopes for $5 an hour, and the competition didn't step up and hire the ace man. Maynard?
Yeah.
You have a very interesting story. Let's hear it.
All right, me and my buddy were headed back from the bar with a couple of drunk chicks. Things are looking good.
Right on.
And then cop runs a red light. I hit his rear bumper. I get a DUI.
Mm. And
game over.
He hit you.
No, I hit him.
All right.
Game over.
But I thought the cop ran the red light.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
All right, so he ran the red light, but you hit him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was his fault, was though, right?
Yeah, I thought it was, but apparently it was mine.
And so when you guys got out of the car, he noticed you were drunk. At first, he must have been sort of apologetic, but then eventually arrests you, right?
You know, that's what I would think, too, but not at all. Oh, he turns around, comes back, and asks him what happened, this big old fat guy, and he says, I don't know. Have you been drinking?
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much it.
Well, I, you know, and don't say I've just had one beer.
No.
They read right through that. We need to take a break. We have a full bank. We have a guy got one for sleeping in the front seat of a car, backed into a cop car, passed out at a red light and got busted. And many, many, many stories of DUI woes.
Batting 1,000 for me. The last three.
Really, done all those.
All three.
I'm the only one who hasn't been arrested.
And that was Friday.
I didn't say I got arrested for them. I said I've done all three of those.
We need to take a quick break. We will be back. Def Rat Guy coming up, by the way, in a couple of few. But we'll finish our boozing on the road stories next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show. And now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy. Today's topic, the Ten Commandments in the Courthouse.
Should there be a separation of church and state? At first glance, seems like a good idea, but it's a slippery slope. Take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. Next thing you know, thou shalt not kill is just a suggestion, and jackbooted thugs are storming your house and forcing you at gunpoint to covet your neighbor's oxen. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
That was Slippery Slope Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
So true.
So true.
We're talking about DUIs based on Vivica A. Fox. Got to emphasize the Fox on her name. Got one. Had to go to Van Nuys and dry out a little bit in the pokey. I had a situation that might have mirrored young Ginger here's problem. Ginger?
Yeah?
Like that name, baby doll. What happened to you in the DUI department?
Well, this one totally sucks. I was in junior college, and my parents were out of town, and I had a party at my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up to move. Basically, I hadn't drank the whole night. I had like one shot right before they came, and I had a lollipop in my mouth. And I went to go move my car back up so someone could leave my house, you know, because they're breaking up the party. Gave me a DUI.
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
Hold on.
You were at your house.
Yes.
You weren't going anywhere.
Nope.
You moved the car, and you got a DUI.
Yep. Backed it out of my driveway, put it back in the driveway, took me to jail.
It's bad luck, but it's drunk driving, technically, absolutely.
I know, and the problem in life is we don't...
But the thing is, I wasn't even that...
No, I know. The law needs a dimmer switch. Her connection's bad, so I'm going to put her on hold, meaning... There is DUI where you have three kids in the car and you're going 95 and you're heading to Vegas and they pull you over a mile from your house, but you were going to drive 275 miles drunk with your kids in the backseat. And then there's DUI where you're moving your car at your own house and a party and you never really leave your own, you don't leave your own street, barely your own driveway. It's the same DUI.
Right.
It's the same rehab.
Yeah,
it's the same suspension of the license. It's the same fines and punishments. I would like to have just a little bit of a dimmer switch. This is what I thought was going to happen to me some years ago when I went to the Pretty in Pink premiere.
Oh, I love
whatever happened, you had it coming.
Oh, that was a good movie.
People that know me know that the Ringwald family grew up down the street from me. Right. They weren't rich and neither were we because Molly Ringwald wasn't Molly Ringwald. Molly Ringwald was just some 12-year-old kid who moved from Placerville out here and lived in a crappy house in North Hollywood. At some point, she got famous. She did Pretty in Pink, and of course, we were sort of childhood friends, so me and my buddy the Wheeze got invited.
You went with the Wheeze?
I went with the Wheeze to Pretty in Pink. We went down the carpet. We walked over at Grauman's Chinese. I flipped Bonaducci, a deuce. He was living in his car at the time.
And I still appreciate it.
That's right.
He could have been
an
angel.
And you keep giving them to me on gay walking.
Yes, his butler answered the driver's side door, and I said, you make sure this 20 finds its way to Bonaducci's wallet. And he said, good day, and he rolled the window up. So... we went there, and then we headed over to the after party at the Palace, the famous Palace, the landmark Palace.
I worked security there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. On a trail right behind Bonaducci in his career. So we go to the Palace, and it is free booze, and I got the Wheeze, and he's going to be doing the drive-in. So there was a time where... if there were free booze, I would drink like I was getting drunk for the following weekend.
Right.
I would drink like a camel. I would drink like, hey, man, this is free. So even though my heart may stop from alcohol poisoning, I will drink as much as possible I can. And hopefully I'll belch it up during the week and a cop a buzz because it's free.
With food, that's called immigration mentality, meaning it might get taken away. You don't know what it's called. So when you go to a buffet and overeat till you're sick,
going to go nuts.
Immigration mentality. That's how you drink.
Right. That's how I was drinking like an
immigrant.
Swam the Rio Grande. So I tried to drink the Rio Grande at the Palace, and we got to the end of the night, and I was filthy, sloppy drunk, and I said, where's the Wheeze? Well, the Wheeze had hooked up with a chick and split.
A real chick?
A real chick and split.
A guy named the Wheeze got the chick.
Not an attractive chick.
Okay.
But a real chick.
And he left a man in the field.
That's right. He's my designated driver. And he left me, look, what are you going to do? I didn't hold it against the Wheeze, but the problem is they were flicking the lights on and off. It was 2 in the morning. It was time to leave.
Right.
And I was blotto plastered. And I stepped out of the Palace, and it was driving rain. Look, rains. It rains 3 or 4 times here in L.A. year, but when it does, it'll come down. And it was teeming, and I had no umbrella or raincoat or anything. And my car was parked way up the hill, if you know where the Palace is. Long hill in a bank parking lot at the top of the hill because I wanted to park for free. So I go running in the rain at 2 in the morning, sloppy drunk in my dress shoes up to the top of the hill, turn the corner into the bank parking lot, which is empty. Except for 2 cars, my car and a cop car.
Nice.
And the cop car, even though there are 100 open spaces in the bank parking lot, the cop car's parked right next to my car. And the windows are fogged over, and it's pouring rain, and I'm sloppy drunk. And I have no idea if there's a cop in the cop car or what the hell is going on.
Right.
Why is this? Now, I'm frozen. Literally frozen in my tracks, and I'm freezing because the rain is soaked through my clothes, and I can't figure out do I make a move toward the car? I look pretty guilty standing here in the pouring rain with no umbrella,
right,
staring
at my car.
But what do I do? I am blotto drunk. If I get into my car, am I going to get a DUI? Do I have to start the car before I get a DUI? Why is the cop car parked right next to my car? Mm-hmm. What's this guy doing? By the way, is this some rogue cop who's getting some oral sex from a streetwalker and he's decided to pull next to my car? Or does he know,
right,
oh, this guy's down at the club?
And I'm guessing scenarios are not over yet.
No, but they're flying like candy out of a pinata.
Yep.
I'm thinking, what? He knows. He knows I'm coming. He knows this guy's parked here. He's down at the club and he's going to come up sloppy drunk at 2 a.m. And when he gets in his car, I'll bust him. But what are my choices? I have no money in my wallet. I have no umbrella. It's 2 a.m. I'm soaking wet. I don't know what to do. So I get into the car.
Passenger seat or driver's seat?
Well, I got into the driver's seat, which was probably a mistake, and I sat there, and I thought, all right, now what's going on?
Now, the longer you sit there, the weirder it
looks. Now it seems weird that I'm sitting in my car. The windows are fogged up because of the rain. It's cold at night. I can't tell if there's someone in his car. Do I dare knock on the window? Every once in a while, you have this thought. It's the same one you use when you cheat or when you do anything, where that sort of throw yourself on the mercy of the court thing, where you go, hey, listen, dude. I'm drunk. I'm going to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, what, do you just throw you? In which case, if he's a badass, he'll bust you anyway. Or maybe he can, maybe you went to high school with him. And I sat in my car and I put the keys in this and I go, the second I turn this car over, he's going to hit the rollers. Is that what's going to, is he waiting for the, and I had no idea what's going on. I just sat there and felt like a lifetime. And eventually I just started my car up. And nothing happened.
Oh.
And I drove home sloppy drunk, not proud, and I vomited in the bathtub, and I yelled at the Wheeze because we were living together.
But you got to give the Wheeze his girl. There's
you
got to
give the Wheeze his girl, and I, to this day, I have no idea what that cop car was doing there, if a cop was in it, why he was parked next to my car when there was every other space was open, and... You know what? I don't want to know.
But can I just tell you, as like kind of a bedtime story kind of way, that was an excellent story.
Have
you ever been panicked by something and no objects were moving? There was nothing really panicking you to make that many scenarios. That stuff happens to me, and I was sucked right into your paranoia.
Yes, there was a moment of decision. And it was fight, flight, flee. What
Turn
do you do?
Turn the key, throw yourself on the mercy of the court. Greg,
I did that.
Greg got arrested after being home for 20 minutes for drunk driving. Greg?
Yeah.
How did this happen, my friend?
Well, I don't know what's more ridiculous, the fact that I was at home already making myself a sandwich for like 15, 20 minutes, or the fact that I drove drunk from L.A. all the way to San Diego, and then was arrested at home.
Well, you tell us what happened, and how did you get arrested at home?
Well, I dropped a buddy off. We'd been partying all night, one of those that turns into the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. A good Samaritan, off-duty highway patrol, follows me, notices my erratic driving, and then waits outside of my, I'm at my parents' house at the time, and promptly calls the police, who then knock on my door, ask me if that was my car. I said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just then, my parents drive up. So I make a move, because I'm still in the house at this point. I make a move towards where they were, on the driveway. And as soon as I did, boom, I guess they thought that I was going to try to run or something, but I mean, full-on manhandled.
In front of the folks.
Right in front of the mom. My mom's screaming hysterically. It was,
Once in a while you hear about the off-duty cop with the gun thwarting the bank robbery, and you go, yeah, but when you hear about him tailing the drunk driver.
Did you see the news last night with the off-duty cop in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The bartender girl cut him off.
Beating the bejesus.
Stomped her guts out. I couldn't believe that over saying, I'm sorry, sir, you've been overserved.
Yeah.
It was grotesque.
Well, in this case, it's It's hard to know whose side to take because obviously we don't want drunk drivers on the road, but on the other hand, you just think, what a douchebag following the guy.
It is one of the most mixed messages I spit out of my mouth, which is, of course, I don't want drunk drivers on the road. On the other hand, I feel sorry for every person that's ever gotten a DUI.
Kim Delaney.
Yes.
She made it home and then answered the door. Yeah. I wouldn't answer the door. You need a warrant to come in.
Colby over here on line two says he got a DUI with Steve Nash, the NBA star.
Point
Steve
guard?
Nash, I think he was the most valuable player in the NBA, wasn't he?
I told you me, Kiefer Sutherland, and Charlie Sheen had to pick up trash on the 405 together.
Yeah. I don't know if Nash did anything other than ride shotgun. Colby?
Hey, Adam, what's up, man? Big fan.
Good. What the hell were you doing?
Okay, this is about a year and a half ago. It's a Sunday night, about 1 o'clock in the morning in Sacramento, California. The Phoenix Suns were in town. They just beat the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing outside of a bar. Stretch Hummer pulls up. A bunch of big, tall black guys start getting out of it. So the first thing I do is I say, oh, we better hide the white women.
Mm-hmm.
Smart.
Thought that was funny, man. So they kind of adopted me for the night. And me and Steve were talking.
Calculated risk,
girls.
But it paid off.
Yeah, right.
It was pretty risky, but they actually thought it was really funny.
So Steve Nash is in there with the brothers.
Yeah, he gets out, man, looking, you know, normal as ever. And we're inside the bar. We got a bunch of girls talking to us. I'm kind of leeched onto his arm, just kind of trying to hang out with them. So I drove a van. I drive a big Love Sub van to the bar. And I brought, like, five really hot girls with me.
Mm-hmm.
Love Sub.
Yeah.
I never heard that.
It's the name of my junk.
Yeah, Steve's not drinking at all. But I could tell he's on something. He's kind of slurring his words, and he has a real kind of kiddish giggle to him.
Mm-hmm.
We get in the car to my van. You know, we're going to go back. We got these girls with us. And I chirp the tires to kind of show them how powerful my van was for some stupid reason.
Yeah, you're drunk, yeah.
You're a guy.
Mm-hmm.
A cop gets behind me. He tells me a cop gets behind me. I turn around to look to see if the cop's behind me. I go up on the center divide a little bit with two tires.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled me over. He recognizes Steve. He tells Steve, you know, Steve kind of works his way out of the situation. Steve felt bad and tipped me $100, and he got to go, and I got the DUI.
And you got arrested.
I got the DUI, man.
With Steve Nash riding shotgun.
Sent you $100?
Only $100?
Yeah, he gave me $100. It was the only thing he had in his wallet, and he felt bad.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the guy only makes $26 million a year.
Yeah, can't afford more than that.
When I got busted in Mexico for throwing that guy through the change in my face, and I hit him, and they arrested me, they actually swapped me with my friend because he couldn't get any money.
Really?
So they let me out and arrested Mike and let me go to San Diego to get money and come back and get him.
That doesn't sound like the Mexico I know. Patrick?
Yes.
Last one. DUI stories, please.
One night after work, my wife called me up and asked me to meet her at a bar with a couple of her friends. So go to the bar, have a couple drinks, and we both figure, well, we got two cars. We didn't want to leave them downtown. So we decided to drive home.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving to the bar and trying to get on the freeway, I get popped first, and she goes around me. I figure, okay, I'm cool. You know, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
And get thrown in the cop car, go around the corner, and there's my wife getting the sobriety test.
So I would have hit her, by the way. You both grabbed the wheel. So you both get arrested within a few minutes of each other?
Literally within about 2 minutes after I got to the station, she shows up. I'm begging the cops. I'm like, please, please, double the fines for me. Let her go.
Mm.
Oh, that's sweet.
They wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. We both get booked. And the whole time, I've got all these perv police officers checking her out. She's a little 5'7", blonde.
And here's the other one that's strange about DUI. I know guys have gotten DUIs who've gotten a $200 fine, got to keep their license, and didn't have to go to rehab. And then I know guys who got a $5,000 fine, lost their license, and had to go to rehab, depending on where you got your DUI and oftentimes when you got your DUI. Did you guys get the exact same punishment because it was
the exact same crime
and the exact same place?
We got the exact same punishment. We both had all the DUI classes, MAD. We've had all the same.
But that's fines, nice. You guys go rehab as a family.
Yeah, his and hers.
I think you get a break, actually.
That's right. Twofer.
They took both of our cars and put them in different impound lots. So,
they should let them stay together, too.
Yeah, overall, it's cost us about probably $12,000 to $13,000.
Yeah, it is the most, or not the most, but one of, you know, there's not a ton of ways short of getting hit by a commuter train that you can have your life ruined so easily. It's a situation where all of us have a unique opportunity to have our lives ruined immediately.
Right.
And we all stand the same chance, so be careful out there.
And they do these things. They'll ruin your life. It's not like the old days, you pay your fine, and that's that. This wasn't just being drunk, but remember the fight I had with the guy in the dress in Phoenix?
Yes. I think I've heard.
Do you know the community service I got on that?
What?
750 hours. I've heard people paroled on murder that got 500 hours. I've never heard of anybody getting 750 hours before in my whole life.
Did you work? Did you do every one of them?
Oh, I rigged the whole thing.
Perfect.
Yeah, I didn't do any of it. I mean, I guess it took me 15 minutes a day.
But giving the...
to get 10 hours credit.
Judge didn't know that, but if you're doing... Well, how did you do that?
The judge... I called the judge. It was in Phoenix, but I got a job in Philly as a radio guy and became really popular. So I wrote the judge because that was part of my penalty. I had to write him once a month. So I wrote the judge, listen, I could raise 10 grand in 15 minutes and give it to Matt or anything you want. And he wrote back... You don't understand. This is not about helping anyone. This is about punishing you. Mm-hmm. You go out and go door to door and you collect food and you give it to the Philadelphia Food Bank. Mm-hmm. So I did that one day. And then I realized I had a car full of random groceries. Mm-hmm. So I just went to the store and knocked down one of everything. As I walked by, nothing matched. Just knocked down one of everything until my car was full, paid for it, took the Philadelphia Food Bank.
Bonaducci's here with a boatload of garbanzo beans. I'll alert
different.
The media.
Everything different.
Fire up the band.
Yo, soup, cereal, stuff that did one pair.
So, but if you're a legitimate guy and you don't have a radio show in Philly and you got to work off 750 hours.
Think about it. It's
do the math.
Easy.
Yeah, imagine putting in a day every weekend, just burning a Saturday every weekend, 8 hours times.
See, I thought of it as a 40-hour week. 8-hour days, 40-hour weeks. That's still, you know, 10 weeks is only 400 hours. That's 20 weeks. That's 6 months of nothing but 8-hour days.
Right, and no one's going to do that. You're going to burn a Saturday for the next 5 years. All right, we need to take a break. The good news is the Def Frat guy is here, and he has a huge announcement.
He does?
Yes. Now let me say this. This is not just so much pre-sell for the Def Frat guy. He's been in here 30 times. He's never had a huge announcement.
Right. Yeah.
Well, this time, Def Frat guy has a huge announcement, and we'll hear it next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Scores presents Strip Club Etiquette with the Def Frat Guy. Today's topic, credit cards.
While it may seem like a good idea at the time, running your credit card through a stripper's butt crack like an ATM is considered a serious faux pas.
That was Strip Club Etiquette, brought to you by Scores and the Def Frat Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
DFG in the hizzy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, get your mic on there.
He doesn't even know it's not on.
Yeah, mic's not on. No, he doesn't know. I'm telling him.
Def Frat Guy.
Hell yeah.
Oh, there we go. There we go. DFG, well, a couple of things. First off, well, welcome to the show. I hear you have your own DUI story, DFG.
Yes, unfortunately. Well, I didn't get busted for the DUI, but the thing was, I was driving with a beautiful lady.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a romantic evening, and we were going to her backyard where she had a tent.
Wait a minute.
I like it.
Bro, it's in high school, dude.
Oh, okay. I see.
Oh.
All right. So,
not Ashley or not a cougar.
This is high school.
This is high school. This is before the cougars and the Ashleys. Yes.
We are driving along a country road.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing illuminating the road is the headlight and the red glow of our passion.
It's poetic this morning.
And we were winding down the road, her hand in my lap, my pocket filled with rubbers.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to get it on.
Right.
Until a deer came out, and I smacked it with the car.
Uh-huh.
And we smacked the deer, and we were too far. And she's like, we have to put it out of its misery. And I grabbed the tire iron, and I wanted to...
Oh, no.
But I couldn't do it, so we had to ram the deer over the head a few times, running the car over and over.
It's the only merciful thing to do. And listen, Teresa, talk yes. about getting a woman, you know... A phone call from a parent is enough to screw up a night's passion. Right. Running over deer continuously in a car.
Yeah.
That's it. Right.
I mean, if you had grabbed the deer and pet its head and cuddled it and tried to take care of it, that would have been better.
But I couldn't leave it there to stop her alone and be eaten by other animals.
So you just ran it over again.
I ran it over, but the girl I was with was crying, and it totally stuck. Bottom line, dude, that deer C-blocked me.
Oh, really?
You blame the deer.
C-blocked by D.
Because I'm like, now we're in the tent, and the right. girls...
C-D-blocked.
The girls, like, all I can think about was that horrible noise the deer was making. And I'm like,
what kind of noise was it making?
I don't know, bro.
Come on.
Fat guy.
I'm sorry.
I was physically C-blocked by a raccoon once, but it was a completely different story. This is more symbolic.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a richly wow. huge description of that, wow. that evening. But you did end up in the tent with her.
Hell yeah. But now, whenever I see, like, Bambi or a deer... It kind of killed my woody.
I understand.
For most people, it's the opposite.
No, I understand. Yeah,
it's just like. It was,
by the way, I don't want to step me. On it, but a guy in the 6 o'clock hour told us the exact same story, exact same, almost verbatim. I'm not saying you ripped him off. I'm just saying.
Although it was a male deer, so he kept referring to it as a buck. But aside from that,
B blocked.
Yeah.
All right, now Def Rat Guy. As we know him as Def Rat Guy, you know him as Def. His real name is Jason. His friends over at the Teak House knew him as Maverick. Then he got thrown out of the Teak House over at SC. 6 year senior over at USC.
Nice.
Started his own frat house, Delta Phu Gamma. What is the next? You have a big announcement.
That's the sign of a big announcement right there.
I have a press release. Since the Adam Carolla Show saw fit not to hire the Def Rat Guy and rather hire former Monkees bass player Danny Bonaducci, the Def Rat Guy and Delta Food Productions has sought endeavors outside terrestrial radio.
I see. Moved on.
He, along with Delta Food Productions, are pleased to announce a long-term strategic partnership with UFC welterweight contender Mike Quick Swick.
Wow. 5-0 in UFC competition, 11-1 record overall. Very strong, yeah.
Hell yeah, he's one of the best. But, bro, let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
In a managerial position, the Def Rat Guy and Mike Swick look forward to many years and many victories. Hell yeah.
Uh-huh. So, now Mike Swick is on the phone, by
hell
the way.
Hell yeah.
Let me pot him up. Mike?
Yeah.
Great to speak to you.
Hey, nice to talk to you, too.
Hell yeah.
So, Mike, we saw you in the Ultimate Fighter Season 1, which I watched, so I recognize your work. And you've now gone on to some success at the UFC. 11-1 overall, which is pretty strong, because what a lot of people don't realize, a lot of these mixed martial arts guys have records that aren't the greatest in the world. There's a lot of guys that are like 13-7. A lot of guys that... Just because of the nature of the sport,
right.
If they were boxers,
that's what I was going to say.
And the guy was 14-9,
he'd be a journeyman,
right?
But in mixed martial arts, you're only as good as your last fight. You're never Sugar Ray.
And 11-1 is pretty damn good,
pretty
Mike.
Damn good.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of variables in the sport. So when you have so many aspects and so many ways to lose the fight, you know, it cuts that. The chances of staying undefeated or keeping that ratio high up a lot, you know, harder.
And you guys, now you'll be fighting Saturday, April 7th in UFC 69. Hey, that's a good one.
Hell yeah, 69. My favorite, that was Moose's football number.
Right. Mike, who are you fighting?
I'm fighting a guy named Yushin Okami from Japan. He's 3-0 in the UFC, and he's a very strong opponent. So,
and what is his specialties? Is submission
ground
guy or?
And pound?
He's a ground and pounder. Yeah, and he's 19-3 overall, which is a great record for our sport.
So he's going to be a tough competitor.
Definitely.
But you have the Def Rat Guy in your corner now.
You can't lose with that.
What I have to do to this guy, the other opponent, is get into it that head of his. somehow to intimidate him. I want to have this fight won before the bell even rings.
You know what would be cool? If he couldn't speak English and you can't hear him, and you try and get in his head, that would be a fantastic conversation.
A war of undistinguishable words.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
How do you plan to get in his head and drive him, like, to the brink?
When he sees me, I'm going to have a, like, I'm not sure if I'm going to be wearing, like, a pimp outfit or a long flowing, like, a purple robe or something. But he'll be like, well, this, he'll be like, Mike Swick has a manager. I don't even have a manager. Right now, I've already lost the fight.
Right, already lost. Right. This isn't professional wrestling, though, you understand, Def Rec Guy. This is a real sport. This is not choreographed.
Yeah, somebody's going to get hurt. There's no two ways about this.
Well, I have a rap.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you do?
Of course. Yeah, for my, and maybe this is what the opponent can hear to have the fight won.
Well, maybe your fighter can enter the octagon to this song.
Check it out.
All right.
Mike Twink, he's quick and slick. When he kick to the head, he put you in the hospital. Mike Twink, he's quick with a kick to the head. Hell yeah, he put you in the hospital.
Yeah, I don't think the other guy would even come out of his dressing room after hearing that.
He's already lost the fight in his head.
He's already lost.
The deal is Mike Swick has, like, put opponents down in the fastest times ever in
is
the
that
U.S.
True?
22 seconds, wow. One dude, 12 seconds, another guy.
He's knocked out three opponents in under 30 seconds.
You think
that's amazing.
That's not easy. I mean,
no.
Like,
yeah.
And right now, I'm also, I just wanted to tell if Mike didn't notice or the opponent, I'm reading The Art of War.
Sun Tzu.
Smart.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Well,
hey,
Mike,
I'm just wondering, is it because you're on the radio that you say, hey, Mike Zwick, kick him in the head? There's an obvious rhyme there that I would go with if I weren't on the radio. Yes, kick him in his chick. That's what I was going on.
Mike?
Yeah.
We're obviously going to be following your career closely now that you have Def Rap Guy in your corner.
Yeah.
I feel like he brings a lot to the table, but really where he shines is the post-victory party.
Oh, yeah?
You know, I mean, after you beat the bejesus out of your next opponent, Def Rap Guy really, really springs to life when it comes to funneling beer.
While Mike is beating the crap out of his opponent, I'll be busy kicking the ass of a 30-pack.
That's right.
Well, is it one of your duties to get him ready for the fight? Do you give him a massage or do you psych him up? What are your duties, Maverick?
Right now, I'm here purely for moral support to pump him up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like right now, I mean, you know, he's the brawn, I'm the brains.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a smart dude, but I mean, that's the way I think.
I understand. Yeah, you're not the brawn. Well, Mike, you let your fist do the talking, and Def Rap Guy, you let a little thing you hook up to your telephone do your talking. I suppose UFC 69 Saturday, April 7th. Mike Swick is going to be getting in the ring with a guy who's 19-3 overall.
17-3.
Yeah, well, he's 19-3. Actually, he's 20-3 now. I think
23 in a fight in the last 4 minutes.
How'd that happen?
He, which is very impressive versus a guy 11-1. I mean, combined mixed martial arts 31-4. That's going to be a hell of a fight. And Def Rap Guy, you'll be the guy loaded in the corner.
Locked and loaded.
I just want to be the spit boy.
If Mike can take this dude out, the sky's the limit because, man, you got to check out Mike. He's, look, I could have picked anyone to
manage. You could have managed anybody. All right.
Congratulations.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Mike, we'll be watching April 7th.
Yeah, we will.
Hey, thanks for having me. And you can always check out my webpage, MikeSwick.com, for more info.
MikeSwick.com, or you can go to the UFC.com. Either way, we'll be watching, and you'll be keeping us abreast of the situation. Yes, Def Rap Guy?
Yeah, I'll be with abreast.
Oh, no, right. No. I do like this new marriage. I think it's going to be a windfall for us and the UFC. We need to take a quick break. When we come back, I think we'll continue on with our March Madness.
Hell yeah, Mike.
Right. Speed bumps versus length of baseball season in the next bracket to see who makes it to the Elite Eight. March Madness next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's
March Madness on the Adam Carolla Show in Sweet 16 action. Talk to your kids' PSAs.
I don't need the super condescending nothing PSA. Talk to your kids. As opposed to what? Hey, Dad, how about we throw the ball around? Dad? What do you think? I'm not going to talk to my kids, or I'm going to yell at him.
We're sent home crying by the length of the baseball season.
Please, people, with your baseball, it sucks. If it was 10 games, it'd be too long. It's 162 games.
And speed bumps.
I've dumped more coffee on my lap than comes out of the country of Colombia every year. I'm done with those things, too. And again, we speed up the cars, we speed up the road, then we put a lump in it to slow ourselves down.
Defended against a strong showing by photographers who take a million shots.
If you're good, you do it in 10 shots. If not, forget it. Let me explain what a marksman is. It's not a guy who has 500 shots to hit the target. It's a guy who has one shot to hit the target.
But in the end, it was speed bumps that put the brakes on their dreams.
Speed bumps. Speed bumps.
So will speed bumps have what it takes to bounce the length of the baseball season?
What's going to make me mad in March?
It's March Madness on the Adam Carolla Show.
A lot of brackets going down here at the office. I imagine your workplace as well. I don't know who's leading it in the clubhouse thus far.
I'm pretty sure I'm last.
Mike Lynch looks pretty confident. He's feeling pretty good. I told him I don't want to hear what your pick is. I don't want to be swayed. You know, I could give it that extra something, or I could hold back just a little, just enough to sway the online voting.
Mine's already been bounced. I picked stickers or seatbelts.
It's already out.
First round.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Well, seatbelts was beaten. There was an upset. Safety warning stickers won out of thousands and thousands of votes on AdamCarolla.com. Safety warning stickers won by 27 votes, so don't think that your vote does not matter. Your vote matters.
My question is, how can you tell when Mike Lynch looks excited or confident?
I don't know.
I don't think he's made a different face in the 3 months I've worked here. He's had that same exact expression.
He wears an old man hat. He has a beard.
Looks like he doesn't like it that much.
In his mid-20s, and it's hard.
He's in a hurry, but he's not moving fast.
Yes, but behind that stoic face, all the funny is happening in his brain.
I'm sure he's super funny. I've seen him be funny. I'm just wondering how you know by the face if he feels different.
Great if he could transfer it to his brain to the hand he uses to write once in a while. Seems like there's a blockage somewhere in his shoulder. Where's the funny being blocked? I know it's up there. We're going to have to start drilling. Get that funny out.
Maybe some acupuncture. That loosens things up sometimes.
T, I was kidding. Now it's getting sad.
Oh, no!
Poor T.
All right.
First Dawson, now you're taxing me.
I know.
I love you, too.
Yeah, thank you, Danny.
As a matter of fact, real quick, because I said her stock went down with me, and she got really upset.
She did.
And so I would like to tell you why I said it real quick. I did her TV show with her, and she keeps doing a great job and then saying, I really sucked at that, didn't I?
TV
and I finally got mad, and I said, stop doing this. It's stupid. You got this job because you were the best. No, I'm not very good. And it bothered me after a while. I didn't like it. She should be proud of herself. That's why her stock went down, because she's so good and doesn't know it. But she was upset, so I wanted to tell you people that I really like her.
Right.
But she shouldn't be so hard on herself.
Her being good and not knowing it is not the problem with the other people that work on the floor. just so you know. They have a multitude of problems.
I am a lonely soul.
It's not that she's too good.
What about March Madness?
All right, where were we? March Madness, that's right. All right, first topic, speed bumps. Well, again, the symbolism of throwing something down to slow ourselves down, I don't like it. And they shouldn't be called speed bumps, because you're not speeding when you hit it. You're going 9 miles an hour, and it's still enough to dislodge a joint. I mean, I've like hyperextended shoulders and my steering arms hitting those things and dumped a pot of coffee on my lap. And the toughest part about the speed bump is there are as many different speed bumps as there are automobiles. I feel like each time an automobile manufacturer rolls out a new car, they go, well, we got to roll out a new speed bump so Corolla can be confused. Because once in a while, when you have that speed bump, you know, you make friends with it, you work with it, you go, I know this speed bump. I approach it at a 10-degree angle at 14 miles an hour. I grab the e-brake and pull the backside of the car around. I go into a drift. It's not out of control.
control. It's what I call a controlled Brody maneuver, and I'll make it over the speed bump with no big deal. By the way, how many people have been run over avoiding the speed bump? I'll do that move where I yank the wheel to get around the 4 foot space that's given between the parked car's bumper and the end of the speed bump, only to hit a retarded kid who's getting his wheelchair out of the back of the Buick. What good is the speed bump? But again, uniformity. We have uniformity for everything. Every building code, everything involving the road, involving building, involving parking lots, but not the speed bump. I don't like the prefab speed bump, the one that's just a boom stuck on the ground, made out of some nylon. It's sharp. There's sharp speed bumps that jolt you, and then there's the swoopy kinds of ones. Let's just do it. And why don't we just trust our citizens not to drive so fast? You know, we have a goddamn cop on every corner with a radar gun. How about they hand out the tickets? All right. Next.
Nicely done, sir.
Thank you. The baseball season. The 163-game baseball season. Here's bad news and bad news. Bad news is it's the boringest sport we have to offer. Worst news, it is 10 times longer than any sport. 163 games. Each game is worth less than 1 point. It's worth less than one loss. If you think about it, it is not even 0.75%. It is less than 0.75%. You can lose five games in a row. It's like losing 1/4 in the NFL. It means nothing. And then we talk about it like it's interesting. Hey, the Dodgers are on a 4-game skid. Of course they're on a 4-game skid. They play 4,000 games. You think they're going to win one, lose one, win one, lose one, win one, lose one, all the way to 163 games? And then, lo and behold, they've won 3 out of their last 5, and that's news again. If you flip a coin, you think it lands on heads, tails, heads, tails, heads, tails consecutively? No. It lands on tails 5 times, and then it lands on heads 5 times, but it ends up 500, just like every single team in the Major League. Just start the season at the All-Star break. Start it at the All-Star break. What, 86 games? Not enough to decide? Oh, we can't play a scant 100 games. How would we know who the best team was? Really? 150 games isn't going to be enough for you to figure out who the best team is? And again, every team makes the playoffs with a 500 record anyway. Please. It's fat guys wearing the uniform but with tennis shoes and windbreakers heading out to the mound for an endless conversation. Stop the madness, I say. We get this thing down to 10 games. Winner takes all, and we start football season 2 months early.
Wow. I'm tired from watching.
Who's going to make it to the Elite Eight? It's up to the listener. They've got to go to AdamCarolla.com. And listen, Sanjaya is still on American Idol because good citizens did not vote.
Speed bumps could be the Sanjaya of this competition.
By the way, I've heard that the ratings are doing much better now, so when you say it's up to the listener, you can go plural now.
Now go plural.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I've heard. That's listeners. The rumor.
All right. AdamCarolla.com. Cast your vote. We'll have the Elite Eight announced for tomorrow. And yes,
and tomorrow, by the way, and I'd like all of my fan to also write in and vote. Tomorrow, the big matchups, Red Terneros versus Backup Beefs and televised poker versus flavored coffee.
I can tell you right now, I'm going to need an IV hooked up to me because if you want to go Red Ternero against Backup Beefs, wow. I'm going to lose some fluid. I need a drip tray under me right now, sister, and I mean today. T,
yes.
What's coming up in the news?
Well, earlier, Def Rat Guy was telling us about hitting a deer. Unfortunately, a man had sex with a dead deer, and I'm going to tell you what his lawyer
Silver was late.
And smelled faintly of venison.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll talk about that. Also, American Idol results. And who is the sexiest star on television?
Well, please let it be me. We'll take a quick break.
We're
we'll
always
be back
the employee of the month.
Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. And now, Adam Carolla.
Well, forget about me. Let's talk to Teresa Strasser. And by the way, I should say that Dick Vitale, going to be on the show. Always excellent on the program. Going to get us caught up on the Sweet 16. But now it is time for the Sweet 29. Teresa Strasser in the news.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
John Edwards and his wife, Elizabeth Edwards, at any moment are set to give a news conference in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to discuss the health of Elizabeth Edwards, who had breast cancer back in 2004. She announced it right after John Edwards lost as vice president, he and John Kerry. Mm. So she's been cancer-free since then, and the world, the news media are waiting to hear if, in fact, she has had a reoccurrence of the cancer.
I'd have said it first.
You'd have said,
I got, hey, the potential first lady has cancer.
Right.
That's good for 100,000 votes.
Easily.
Yeah. I haven't thought about it.
And now, do you need to have a press conference for this?
Well, it would probably mean that he would be dropping out of the presidential race, I would assume, because... I think his political future hinges on her health. I believe he would drop out if she were sick. Mm-hmm. It would be very serious because she had cancer in 2004, a very common type of breast cancer, invasive ductal cancer. If it were to come back now, it would probably mean radiation chemotherapy.
Well, let me ask a horrible question. Yes. It's going to guarantee that me or one of my family members gets breast cancer at some point. Would he be dropping out if he wasn't 20 points behind Barack Obama and Barack wasn't 20 points behind Hillary Clinton?
I can't. I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell if I...
You want to get cancer with me?
I'll answer.
If he was a front runner, if it was a lock that he was going to win, honey, have fun with the chemo.
Nope.
I'm getting in the party bus and hitting the road.
What's well, you know
why? Why?
Because if he's a front runner, there's still a chance he can lose. But yes. You're the front runner and you quit because your wife came down with cancer and you sat next to her sick bed instead of becoming the president, you're the next president for sure.
Well, yeah, for sure. But, you know, what if the guy who gets elected or the girl who gets elected does a wonderful job and gets two terms or whatever the hell it is? Well, anyway.
The Edwardses have been through a lot. They've been married nearly 30 years. They had four children. Unfortunately, they lost their eldest child, Wade, in a car accident. So they are about to speak now. I will let you know what happens. And meanwhile, boy, is this a difficult transition.
Mm-hmm.
Boy,
do
I.
You can do it.
All right.
I usually don't put back-to-back stories this way, but... let's talk about a man who had sexual contact with a deer.
Mm.
This is a follow-up on a story I reported to you back in November. A 20-year-old man out of Wisconsin was caught sexually assaulting a dead deer. He was arrested and charged with a crime called sexual gratification with an animal. His lawyer argued the charge should be dropped. Why? The deer was dead. So it shouldn't be counted as an animal. It should be counted as a carcass, which is, in fact, not a crime. So his lawyer moved for a dismissal.
Mm.
Now, the latest is that he pleaded no contest on the dead deer charge. And Tuesday, the judge decided to classify him as a sex offender, and he's going to serve the rest of his term in a psychiatric hospital.
Yeah, I'm all right with that because, you know, whenever they take a look, a little peek behind the curtain of the serial killers, they always find out that they're into mashing bugs and torturing animals
and
stuff like that. Yeah, these things don't exist in a vacuum. If you think it's a great idea to have sex with a dead deer carcass, I don't want you anywhere near anyone else in society.
What if the deer's alive and kind of into you?
I mean, the deer was asking for it?
Yeah, the deer was begging for it with those doe eyes.
Oh, okay.
The way it was prancing by with its tail up.
Yeah. Mm, okay.
Well, Adam,
sorry, turn the corner.
Adam, you make an excellent point. I believe I've read that there's a...
By the way, must have been some confused trucker that stopped on the side of the road and said, son, if you should just throw a brick at that deer's head. This is not the way to put it down. I mean, I've hit four deer in my life, too. Far be it from me to question your methods, but I keep a .22 in the cab of my truck for these things. Now, I don't know where you were raised or how your daddy went about this, but son, this is not the way to go.
Well, there's a trifecta of predictors as to whether somebody will become a serial killer. And you're right. Torturing animals is one. Setting fires is another one. And enuresis, which is bedwetting.
Uh-oh.
Those three. Uh-oh.
But I'm a drunk, though. I wet other people's beds.
That doesn't count.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I used to wet my bed, too. Here's
how old?
Oh, I mean, I stopped. No, I was seriously. I think I stopped for a while, and then I started again when I was like 11 or 12 or so. I was way too old to wet my bed. And it was always a big mystery, and here's how it was corrected. And let me say this to anyone who wets their bed or anyone who has a child who wets their bed. We all want to talk about the psychological ramifications of everything. The kid's got to take a leak and he's asleep and he don't get up and use the toilet. That's the bottom line.
Right.
When I used to sleep over at my grandparents' house, my grandfather knew this.
Yeah.
And my grandfather would wake me up after putting me in bed at 8 o'clock. He'd wake me up at 1 a.m. after watching The Tonight Show and I would take a whiz in a bucket.
Wow.
He'd say, take a whiz in this bucket. It was right by the bed. And we slept. It wasn't a bed. It was a sofa in the living room.
Because it's a Corolla.
Corollas. We don't have two bedrooms. Who would it be? The Rockefellers over here?
That's the sweetest thing.
And there was
ever
one bathroom that was connected.
Yeah,
so he was a sweet guy. And he'd say, and he's also looking out for a sofa, I think,
sure,
too. But he said, take a whiz in this bucket. And I would get up at 2, 1 a.m. And I would take a full leak in this bucket and throw it back down. And I never wet the bed. Why? Because when I had to go, there was a place to go. Listen, if you have a kid that wets the bed or you wet the bed, get one of those said kitchen timers I always talk about.
Right. I have millions of them.
Punch in 3 hours. That'll be 3 hours after whenever you go to bed. Wake up and take a leak. And if you wake up and the bed is wet, punch it in for 2 hours the next night.
By the way, for all those people that think this is always a comedy show, fully sound advice. This is coming from
a parent.
This
is great advice.
Fully
yeah.
sound advice.
Save your money for the therapist or you're going to spend $8 on a digital timer and wake up. There'll be a great chance your bladder's full when you wake up, relieve it, and you're not going to do it.
Yes, it's very shaming for the kid when they got the rubber sheet and such and everyone knows the kid wets the bed.
It is way more shameful than a drunken adult.
Well, both are bad.
Right. Well, the worst is when you do it. And then your girlfriend treats you like a 9-year-old for the rest of the relationship because you did wet the bed. And it's the afternoon and it's 2:30 and you crack a beer and she says, are you sure you should have that?
Yeah.
Are you sure that's a good idea? Not that happened to me.
No.
Go ahead.
No. Do you just
my wife would get mad when I'd beat her some crack and the same thing would happen.
This just in, very not good news for Elizabeth. For Elizabeth Edwards, she had some x-rays on Monday. She had pain in her side, on her rib. Apparently, they biopsied her breast, and it seems that cancer has returned. According to the Edwards, they are very optimistic, and they say she will have this as long as she's alive, which is, I guess, true of people who've had a bout with cancer. So they say they're optimistic. No word yet on whether John will remain in the campaign.
What do you mean you have it as long as you're alive?
That's what I was thinking.
I guess you're always at risk once you've had cancer. You're always at risk for it to come back.
Right, but for example, if a guy shoots you in the head, from the time it enters your skull till you hit the ground, you're going to have a bullet in the head for as long as you live.
Yeah, it's a weird omen.
Weird.
Yes, this is what their doctor told them. Their doctor said that Mrs. Edwards would have the cancer in her body, and hopefully she's looks like a strong woman. She's 57. Hopefully she can fight it.
God bless her, because it's a tough ride.
Yes, God bless her. We wish her well. And if John Edwards gives word on whether he'll be dropping out, I will let you know, but so far no word on that. In the entertainment world, American Idol was last night. It came down to Stephanie Edwards and that kid that looks like, what's his face? Sexy back. Justin Timberlake. His name's Chris Richardson. They were in the bottom two. Here's what happened.
After 30 million votes.
Jesus.
Chris.
Speed bumps.
You are staying.
Yeah, I was thinking it's almost the exact number of people that watch the show. So is it every one of them voting?
No, I think people vote multiple times.
I'm going to go with because I don't know what the percentage is, but there has to be more than half the people watching aren't voting. It has to be the same teeny bopper going sick.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so too.
I just wish that Ryan would say something to the effect of, after 30 million votes, we have proved conclusively that America's stupid.
This whole vote thing is getting out of hand with the telephone. I mean, there's not now a channel. You know, when you turn on Howie Mandel's game show,
Deal or No Deal,
they have a thing where you can vote on whatever.
Yeah, everything.
I'm looking forward to a future where my kids are just voting on whether we have broccoflower or turnips for dinner. Right. Like, I mean, there's my 9-year-old daughter, 8.5 years from now, is going to pick up her cell phone when I ask her what movie she wants to see. She's going to start voting. Like, there's everyone is going to use their cell phone for everything, and there'll be a goddamn vote on every single topic. I don't like it. Slippery slope.
Slippery slope until my show gets picked up and you vote for these kids.
Well, oh, yeah. Yes.
No, Adam's just crazy now.
I'll get to
I'm
that.
I'm grandfathering yes. that one yeah. in.
Well, speaking of votes, TV Guide, the magazine, has come up with a list of the sexiest male and female stars on television.
Mm. Yes.
Have we been on recently enough that we will have our feelings hurt if we're not on it?
I think we're going. One of us will win for sure.
All right.
Well, Adam knows actually the number one guy, but first the women. Mm-hmm. The sexiest woman on TV, Kate from Lost, Evangeline Lilly.
Mm-hmm.
But number two.
By the way, is it weird that I have no idea what that woman looks like?
She's very cute.
Very cute in the face, has a little bit of a teenage boy body.
Yeah, she's muscular.
Mm-hmm.
Your favorite at number two, Eva Longoria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dude, if you forget everything you know about her and just saw her, she's red hot.
She's red hot cute, but she's a little guppy.
Yeah, oh no, she's this big.
She's tiny.
She's silly big.
Katherine Heigl at number three.
By the way, this big, good radio.
Yeah.
About 4'5", I was saying, guys.
A surprise at number 10, Jennifer Morrison. She plays Dr. Cameron on House.
No.
She's kind of
It's a sophisticated look.
Actually, I was going to watch it, and then Rachel Perry told me it was her favorite show, and I said, well, that's enough.
It then it landed on what not to
Matthew
watch.
Matthew Perry told me it was his favorite show.
Well,
so
as for the guys, number four, Sawyer on Lost, Josh Holloway.
Yes.
Oh, I do know what he looks like. Yeah,
he's a good looking. He's a good looking man.
He's a handsome man.
Super charming. Number three, James Tupper, who's on a show called Men in Trees, and I believe Anne Heche and he are together.
He's coming out with his own clothing line. Tupperware.
I'm waiting for him. Shot. No.
Oh, Brian, come on. Brian, come on.
And nothing?
Enough time has passed.
Do you know
Hold
how
on.
It is?
Hold on, Bonaducci. Do it.
To make up a joke that sucks that bad on purpose, that's an art form,
Thank
buddy.
Thank you. Thank You're you, welcome. Daniel.
Number two, the guy who plays Mohinder Suresh on Heroes. And number one.
What? Mohinder Suresh is a handsome guy?
Well, that's his character's name. His name is Sendil Ramamurthy.
Oh, much better than.
He's actually very extremely attractive. Number one, Patrick Dempsey, the sexiest man on television.
So not true. Mm. So kind of cute at best.
No, I know.
Justin Chambers is cuter. He's number nine on the list. He plays Dr. Karev.
Can I jump around in space?
Yeah,
Richard Chamberlain when he was younger. Brad Pitt any day of the week.
He's not a TV star, though, I think. I think they've limited it to TV stars. But both of you should have made the list, and
Thank
I'm going to protest
Thank
that magazine.
Yes.
In closing, speaking of men on TV, Danny's going to be on TV. He has been, obviously, most of his life, but he's got a new show, The Next Child Star. If you think your kid can act, sing, or dance, go this Sunday, March 25th, from 11 to 4, to Raleigh Studios in Manhattan Beach and audition for his show called The Next Child Star.
By the way, if you don't think your kid can dance, I've got these little electrodes. I'll make that little bastard dance. Yeah, bring him on down.
At a carnival. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Wow. Took 4.5 minutes.
Wow. Well,
he's gotten mad with power.
The longer the space between the setup and
the less
worse
funny.
The joke.
I made a joke 3 months ago, and I'm still waiting.
Oh, Wait a minute. All right, we'll take a break. Dick Vitale, Dickie V, gonna weigh in on the college hoop scene next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. And now, Adam Carolla.
Yes, indeed, but don't worry about me. We have the great Dickie V, Dick Vitale.
Right on.
On the phone. Long overdue. Dickie, great to talk to you.
Hey, Frosty, Heidi, Frank, thanks for having me on. I listen every day, baby.
Yeah, Dick's a little confused.
That's cool.
Well, you must be going out of your mind with the tourney going on. We got four games tonight. We got four games tomorrow. Continues all the way through the weekend. And then we're down to the final four teams.
Oh, I'll tell you, Adam, that's right. It all starts with the Sweet 16 tonight. Let me tell you, when I think of the Sweet 16, I think of two things. I think of the strength, the fortitude, and the determination that these talented college basketball players exhibit on an everyday basis. And then I think of Christy McNichol's Sweet 16, baby.
Yeah.
Remember that one, buddy?
Sure. Damn right I do.
That was the first time Danny chased the dragon. You know, birthday with Lady Snow, the Booger Sugar, Racehorse Charlie. Is it coming back to you?
It's coming back. The Peruvian marching powder, I'm with you.
That's right. He remembered. Okay, this Danny Bonaducci is what I like to call him. MWDMSAFDTAHBWDA.
What's that spell?
That's a man who doesn't mind spending all effing day talking about his battle with drug addiction, baby.
That's exactly. That's my new addiction, actually.
He is a fan of the program.
You know what? Dickie V has a name for Teresa's vagina.
Oh, great.
Oh, great.
A diaper dandy.
Nice.
Better stock up on talcum powder. It's a disaster area down there.
I'm confused.
Dickie V is a solid name. Just,
yeah, it's not
that's
bad.
A solid name for your V, too. All right, Dick, look, it's all well and good. We're here to talk a little basketball. So who do you like to advance this week to the Final Four?
I like Joe Kim Noah and the Florida Gators. In the West, it's the Jayhawks of Kansas. In the East, I'm going with John Thompson Jr.'s Georgetown Hoyas. And in the South, I like Tennessee. Why not? Right? It's strawberry shortcake time when the underachievers get their just desserts. It's NCAA, baby. This is where the kids try to make my all-Avis team, where they try harder. I can't wait for tonight. It's almost game time. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it, baby. Oh! Freeze it right there. Wow. Dickie V just made a double dribble in his pants. That's no clean up, baby.
All right. Well, Dickie V, you mop up the mess in aisle U, and we'll move on with the show. But we're excited for the Final Four, too. And maybe you've heard about our brackets here for March Madness.
What happened?
You're listening to Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. Yeah, listen to this show. We're doing our March Madness where I complain about different topics that bother me. I don't know if you've ever heard me complain before, Dickie V, but I am world class.
Is this the one? Oh, right. I think I heard about this. Is the time when Danny Bonaducci drank a half keg of bong water, right?
No, this is me. I'm
half. I think you're talking to.
Drink bong water. He snorts it. How dare you? And listen, I'm complaining about speed bumps and backup beepers and all the social ills. And then people are going to AdamCarolla.com and voting on it. We're doing our own Final Four and our Sweet 16 and all that stuff.
So what the hell you want me to do about it?
No, I'm just saying. I think it's a pretty clever idea. I just thought you'd enjoy it. That's all.
Listen, even with one functional eye, Adam, I can tell that you're trying to extend a bit that was done 45 seconds ago.
Wow.
Well, someone's been talking to Jack Silver.
Yeah,
all right, Dickie V, we'll be watching this weekend, and hopefully we can check in with you very soon. Now, let's see, the Final Four, we'll be down to the Final Four this weekend. Is that true?
After Sunday, we'll have four teams remaining. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be out of my mind, baby.
Yeah, so hopefully we can check in with you one more time before the championship game.
Don't count on it.
Okay, Dickie V, big fan.
Yeah, very enthusiastic.
With Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, and God willing, we'll check. Now, when
IWP.
When?
It was a pleasure.
I still didn't understand his diaper thing.
Well,
I'm working on it.
Whatever. Yeah. And if memory serves, I think he called Danny the MWDMSAFDTAHBWDA. That's just if memory serves. I can't remember what it all stood
like
for.
What?
Is the final game on Tuesday?
Brian would know.
Brian, what
I know
day
they
is the,
play
what
tonight.
Day is the final?
Final game is a week from this coming Monday. Because they'll have the Elite Eight, Final Four, and then...
Ah, okay. Yeah. So we'll check in with Dickie V before that. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do... So what have we learned? Now, normally we're out of time, but this time we got time. So we're going to take time to make time with... So what have we learned next on The Adam Carolla Show?
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Now go home and get you f***ing chaibok.
If you said Goodfellas...
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, time for one of my favorite parts of the show, a little something called So What Have We Learned? But today, Dickie V helped us carve out just a few moments where we could be alone. First thing we learned today, do not feed your bum change, because he will not be able to survive in the wild without you. You know, you have to set him free. As much as I love my bum, I set him free. It was like I named him Elsa. I set him free in the wild where he was hit by a transit bus. Second thing we've learned today, move over, mayonnaise. My new rap name, Peppermint Schnapps. Also, we learned there's nothing worse than getting C-blocked by a deer.
Yeah.
C-blocked, C'd by a D. Nothing worse. And last, there are many different kinds of speed bumps. As a matter of fact, there's as many different kinds as there is models of automobiles. If you want to invent a new kind of car, if you want to invent the Bonaducci, that's fine. You'll need to be assigned a special speed bump, so that people can never effing figure out how to approach them.
Been so long since I had a speed bump.
Well, now that you're just with one woman, Dan,
right,
chances are very slim. I want to thank, who the hell do I want to thank? Def Rat Guy, Eric Idle, Dickie V, and Mike Swick. Who's going to be fighting on the UFC April 7th. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying... Mahalo. I'm drunk. I'm going to be honest with you.